not that expensive of a book. I got the soft cover for like $6.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I paid like $4 on my iPod or iPad.
What are we all like?
You are cheap. You are super cheap.
I have to be cheap.
You just spent like the last 10 minutes looking at sales of like Tupperware.
You never go to Loot.com?
Like an old granny.
Are you kidding me?
What is it?
It's called Loot.com. They always have a daily sale. Like, sweet shit.
Like Tupperware.
Dude, that is not Tupperware. That is Pyrex.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That shit you can like heat up with like a welding torch and it won't even like crack. You're like, it's Tupperware.
I'm sorry for offending your delicate sensibilities.
It's, everyone knows that's what scientists use for their beakers and shit is Pyrex.
Yeah. Is it also what you use to make a really kick-ass casserole?
Dude, you don't even want to go home.
On Sunday nights?
You don't. Actually, now I want to go home with a casserole. Not until someone makes me a damn pizza cupcake.
Pizza cupcake.
Were you here for that one?
All I'm thinking about now is like something covered in cheese and looks delicious, but you bite into it and it's just scalding hot marinara sauce inside.
Yeah, just clearly.
Just like 2 days from now, I can actually peel off the top of the roof of my mouth because of how hot it's scalding. I just ate a pizza off it.
Pizza cupcake.
Let's not mix this up now.
Yeah.
We need to keep our...
This is serious shit here. The pizza's involved. It's serious shit.
Oppan Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Op, 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 op. Oppan Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Op, 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 op.
Hello everyone and welcome to another exciting episode of Four Guys Play Magic, the once-in-a-lifetime extravaganza, trip down memory lane.
Wait, doesn't this happen every week?
I don't know. I just am trying to say things at the beginning of the episode. This is called filler.
I feel like you're like a snake oil salesman. Like, you listen to this podcast, hair will grow, you'll feel better, your cholesterol will go down.
Pretty women will talk to you.
Buy now and get two bottles.
These are all accurate. Incredibly accurate, actually. Order Four Guys Play Magic now, and the special introductory offer will throw in an extra shaving cream.
Because we gotta get rid of this.
Because to be honest, it's poisonous, and we're all getting sick from storing it.
And sued.
And sued.
Order now before we have to close our doors due to excessive lawsuits. This is episode 5. Off to a fantastic start as usual. My name is Joseph A., known as Chaos Control and Gundara around the internets, and I have some guys with me that like to play magic. So we're going to try to do that. Introduce yourselves, guys.
My name is Jaeger, or Jaegerbaum, as some people will know me, or Jaegerbaum85, if you really knew me from back in the day. You know, back before I figured out you could actually change your username and take off the numbers every morning they wanted me.
And I'm Dave, also known as Crow the Warrior King. I don't play magic very good.
It's okay. We're learning.
I don't play magic that good.
I don't play magic too, none too good. I'm gonna try to get better at playing the magic. I cannot. Okay, now I'm really distracted by your stupid Legend of the Five Rings box.
Dude,
it says we will prevail on the side.
Wasn't the New Phyrexia?
Yeah,
thing?
Wasn't it? Or probably. The Mirrored?
It was either a Mirrored Besiege or New Phyrexia.
That's really no. Put this away. It's dude, ugly and I don't like
it's
it.
It's L5R. You need swag as a magic.
Ugly
player.
And I don't like it. Yeah, swag by going to L5R.
Dude, L5R. I'm sorry, L5R boxes are always better than any Ultra Pro box.
What's L5R?
Legend of the Five Rings is another CCG.
Oh.
And they make the best art, and these boxes are just the shiz.
They cost, what, like $25?
Or, do you know what you get in that box for $25? Way more than you get $25 out of buying an event deck.
Ooh.
Just saying. Just saying.
All right, well, that's been our episode of Four Guys Play Magic. We'll see you guys next time.
Long story short, go play L5.
I'm too mad right now to even continue this podcast. This is a magic podcast. Don't
you're the
tell
one
people. You're the one that had it sitting in front of me with a stupid thing.
I've had this in front of me every single episode.
And this was the first time that it said, "We will prevail," quoted by Akodo Dairuko. I was reading that upside down. I don't know why I didn't just turn it over. Whatever. This sucks.
This is a train wreck already.
I'm upset with this episode.
I'm just going to point out that it's
Let's just go to episode 6.
By default,
let's skip 5 and
just
go to 6.
We should just have a 2-minute episode 5.
Kind of like how in hotels they don't have a floor 13. It goes from 12 to 14.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a thing, isn't it?
That is a thing.
I forgot about
that. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, let's, I probably didn't feel too good today. Let's go ahead and get this train wreck kicked off with a, you know, a good derailment. We'll talk about some listener mail that we got. Oh my god!
Oh my gosh! Oh,
listener mail.
Listener mail.
Mail's here. What was the Blues Clues? The check the mailbox or something?
No, it was a song. He had a whole song in advance. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure all those songs had a whole song.
Yeah.
Or all those shows had a whole song.
For everything, yep.
Everything. Like, you know, clipping my toenails with Blues Clues.
I don't think he ever clipped his toenails on Blues Clues. That sounds like a really disgusting
I'm just saying it would have been a little bit more real. You know, people would have liked
it.
Yeah. Maybe, like, Blue shuffles around and eats his toenail clippings off the ground.
Yeah, like Blue Breaking Bad.
Well, and didn't, deal, yeah, you know? Did, no, did, wasn't he, like, a heroin addict, too?
That wasn't.
That was a rumor.
Was it?
I looked it up, yeah.
It's the internet. Like, anyone that, like, looks like they're actually having a good time with it, he must be on crack.
Oh, he must have been.
Yeah, I know I got replaced at some point. This is already just, what the hell? Really, Blues Clues?
You know, we're Magic players, but we also do other stuff.
In yeah.
Life, you know?
Yeah.
Like watch Blues Clues?
You know,
maybe.
That's getting a little bit too personal.
Yeah, okay, I'm not sorry. Comfortable answering that question.
I'm sorry, guys.
All right, well, we got this email.
Read the viewer mail.
It's not a viewer mail, it's a listener mail.
Whatever, read the mail.
If he's watching us right now for our podcast.
I'm kind of afraid. We might need to relocate.
I need to figure out how to disable this webcam on my network.
Do you guys play Magic? I'm watching you right now.
Joe, why is there a small hole in your wall?
Right?
Do you hear clicking sounds like a camera?
What kind of video cameras do you have?
He's got a regular camera.
Like, one of those gigantic ones with the crank on the side. It's like a 1920s villain standing back there like, yeah, I'm gonna upload this footage to the interwebs.
Every time we're done, you just hear, that's rap.
I'll make hundreds, I tell you, hundreds. There's a guy
in my snake oil would sell.
There's a guy with a piano in the back.
Eat the mail.
Who cares anymore? This podcast is already just done. Episode 5, RIP. Four guys play Magic. We're gonna get our reviews in. This was by far the worst episode of the show. They didn't talk about Magic. They didn't even play Magic. Oh, man. This mail was sent to us by Yak Attack.
Oh, I did see this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He seemed pretty legit. Actually, he was the...
Too legit, almost.
He...
What? Too legit to quit.
Ooh. You went there and no one followed you.
No one.
That's okay.
No one.
Well, why don't we go ahead and preface this by saying if you would like to send us email as well, our email is 4guysplaymagic@gmail.com.
I think he also liked our Facebook page.
He did.
Well.
He did, yes.
Also like our Facebook page, brand new. Well, right now, but I mean, we're uploading way in the past, so I put it
it's
on
like
episode
we're,
2.
It's like we're time traveling.
We are, oh.
Right?
Let's do the time warp again.
This is 4 Guys Play Magic, coming to you from the future.
Awesome.
Okay, Yak Attack, what's up,
Yak
dude?
I'm gonna just read his holy email.
Do
why
it.
Not?
Do it.
First of all, I just wanted to say that I enjoyed your first show.
Oh, thank you. One person.
Yeah, it's I'll be honest, I checked it out because I wanted to see if playing a primarily visual game on a podcast could actually work, but I think it turned out better than expected.
Agreed.
I have long stretches at work with nothing to do, so listening to an audio Magic game is a decent way to kill some time, parentheses, better than listening to a video stream anyway, since they rarely talk about each move.
Mm.
Yeah. I think
we're already ahead of the curve here.
It's one of the things we are trying to achieve.
Yes, definitely.
Also, as per the ending of our last episode, we need to get back to work, Yak Attack. Quit slacking. Come on.
People's lives are depending on your work.
I doubt it. No offense to whatever his job is, but I really doubt it.
He's like that guy who like holds the launch code keys for like nuclear
stuff.
That's why long periods. Yeah,
he's sitting there,
just chilling there, waiting to put that key in.
He's got the security key on a computer, and his whole day is spent defending it from hackers trying to actively get it, like terrorist Russian hackers, and like, yeah, we made a podcast. He's gonna be sitting there laughing his butt off, and hackers are gonna be like getting into those.
We have consequently ended the world with this podcast.
That's fine. I'm okay with this. Four guys play magic, ushering in the apocalypse.
You heard it here first.
I, for one, welcome our new nuclear overlords. There's a second paragraph. I definitely think you guys should set up a forum where people can talk and nitpick about the games you play. Who knows, it might also help you all become better players along the way as well. Parentheses, for instance, Jaeger, you ready for it?
Really?
You ready?
In the game in episode 1, someone gets hit with a Mirren Crusader that has a sword of body and mind on it, but you all only milled 10 and got one wool.
Yeah, he was supposed to mill 20. I did catch it later. I leaned over and whispered it, but it was kind of already passed.
Yeah, me and Jaeger had a little whisper fight during Dave's turn.
No! So, I didn't tell him. Someone didn't tell him. Shut up!
So that was the move that Jaeger made, was kind of ashamedly moving his sword over to his wolf.
I'm sure we're going to get an email now. They're like, why did you equip it to the wolf? And obviously Double Strike is much more superior with the sword.
Well, that time you were kicking all of our asses single-handedly in that game. It was so one-sided. It's like Brian sitting there making everyone take like one or two
hippos. Let's
talk about the true villain with the hippos trumpeting us to all the defeats. Just take damage constantly. For everything you do, take a damage.
I did end him with his own hippo.
That was amazing.
Was pretty good.
I think all of the games we've played so far in this have been good.
Some kind of pretty fun game.
Yeah, last week was pretty epic. That was something.
Oh,
else.
Yeah. I think people might like to talk about stuff like that and also just give their own comments and opinions on your games and decks and stuff. Okay. Anyway, keep up the good work. I look forward to the next episode, The Yak Attack. So thank you, Yak, for your email.
You.
You didn't ask us any questions, but he kind of did, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he mentioned the forum, which I think down the road we'll maybe get to if we can.
I'm going to talk to you guys about that after the show.
All right.
Okay.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
We might have something soon.
This is Four Guys Play Magic from the future again.
From the future of the past of tomorrow today!
What is the heck?
We've got to go back to the future!
This is going nowhere!
It's going back to the future, damn it! 88 miles per hour!
Oh.
1.21 Ouch! Oh, my face hurts.
I don't know why that reminded me of, I got a t-shirt years ago, said, I go 88 miles an hour just in case. So my stepfather sees it, and because I was a youth leader at the time, and I was going on a youth retreat with the kids, and I was packing it. And he's like, you shouldn't bring that. That's a bad example to the kids. I'm like, Dad, you know, Jack, it's a movie reference. Are you kidding me? Did you actually think I, like, promote speeding on my t-shirts just for the heck of it? What is going on?
Oh.
Awesome. So anyway, thanks. Yeah, what these guys brought up, we actually did start a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/4guysplaymagic.
F-O-U-R. Yeah. We have to keep reiterating that, because if they're picking it up later on, like if they're on episode
Facebook
like
doesn't think that far ahead. It really doesn't. Facebook is like, oh, Derp, you're looking for the number 4?
Yeah.
It, like, links you to, like, count pages?
Yeah.
Four pages.
Oh, I'm sad. He died.
He did.
Boom. Way to bring down the group.
No, you're the one that brought it up.
Yeah, you know, as a happy memory, not, oh, he died.
What the hell? Next you're going to start talking about Michael Clark Duncan and really make us sad?
Right?
Oh. Damn it. Why did he have to die?
Why'd you bring it up?
He was so big.
And, yeah.
And a black man.
He said it, not me.
He was.
It's like throwing Joe under the bus. He totally did it.
He not said me. That.
You said that. I am not a crook.
Can we please talk about magic?
No. Welcome to Four Guys Play Magic, where we don't talk about magic.
I can hear our viewer numbers. These guys have nothing left to talk about. Exile.
Ow, my face.
But thank you, Yak Attack.
Thanks for sending that in.
If anyone else wants to send us email, fourguysplaymagic@gmail.com. Send it in.
F-O-U-R.
Oh, God dang it. Stop doing that. They know. They know by now.
They know. Why are we talking like this?
I don't know. Transition to the next segment.
Blue.
Blue is a color?
Yes.
In magic?
Yes.
I think that's... I just blew myself.
Oh, jeez.
There's always money in the banana stand.
We are going down the water hole right now.
Amazing. Yeah, today's topic is going to be the color blue.
Yes.
The color blue, what does it do? For me and you, a splendid stew. But would you view the majestic blue?
Oh my, why are we here right now?
From me to you, that is quite blue.
You done?
Yes.
You sure? One more? One more?
I'm gonna come up with more later.
Okay, alright.
We'll see if I find more things to rhyme with.
Alright, yeah, let's talk about blue.
Yeah, Jaeger, put down your phone!
Nope.
Holy shnikes!
Nope.
He's got waiting for me?
Yes, we are. We're in the middle of our podcast right now.
He's buying Tupperware.
No, I'm trying to remember what our Twitter name is.
Don't worry about Twitter right now.
I'm worried.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
There's a reason I didn't bring up Twitter. It's because I hate it. It sucks. You know, the bird on Twitter is blue.
Yes.
Hence is the color that we shall be speaking of. Today.
Nailed it.
All right. Well, I don't think we need to go into too much discussion here today because we're very vocal about blue in several of our other episodes.
But there are other things to talk about.
Can we talk about Jace for a minute?
No.
And his hair?
Nope.
We already did that.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Remember I went into my Jace.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. A lot of our customers, we're going to get some hate mail from that.
Some Jace customers.
I said hate mail from
our customers.
Did I say
customers?
If you'd like to buy official Four Guys Play Magic t-shirts, check out our webpage, Four Guys Play Magic. Eventually, yes. T-shirts. Oh, man.
Let us know what you think.
I actually already have something lined up for that.
So, what?
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Awesome.
From the future.
From the future.
From the future of the past today.
Oh, we got to hunker down.
We really do. We are everywhere.
Something. We're filling time. It's called time fillers.
We're already out of subject.
It's going to be 2 hours.
In the biz.
Glad my work day is 8 hours long and make it done.
This is what,
maybe.
This is what people love this for. I don't know. Whatever. Okay.
Keep it going. I think we bring a nice refreshment to the podcast world, though.
Refreshment, kind of like the refreshment you'd get from water. Which right, would normally be signified by the color blue.
Blue, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
In fact, the basic land of choice for the blue player would be the island.
The island.
Or the snow-covered island.
True, true.
Islands are often surrounded by water.
Typically.
And in fact, the mana symbol for blue is a water droplet.
Who would have thunk?
Yeah.
You can see that on my playmat right here. Really the reliquary tower, even though the reliquary tower is not a blue card.
Yeah, why?
I don't know why this playmat has a blue island symbol on it. I really don't.
Reliquary tower with islands.
Yes.
So, like I said, in our first episode, we talked quite a bit about blue. We talked about how much we love counter spells and bounce spells, which really are two of the go-to tactics of the blue player.
But, I mean, I think a lot of people overall enjoy blue because it really brings out the card advantage. And people love card advantage. Mm. It always gives you...
if you're just talking about draw, then yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, when you're top decking and hoping for that next card and your opponent's like, oh, I already drew 4 cards this turn, I can do whatever the heck I want. It's a bit of an advantage.
Sure.
People like that.
There's other colors that have access to draw, though, usually with downside, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like, blue is, like, almost all upside with
draw.
Yep. That's definitely a thing. I mean... Blue is the color you go to if you want to. I mean, when you think about blue thematically, it's always been the thinker's color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's been the color of, you know, I don't know about progress, but like the color of ingenuity and the color of new beginnings and new starts. And that's represented by, you know, draw spells. Mm-hmm. When you think of the representation of Magic the Gathering, everything in the game is supposed to be a symbol for something that's happening with your planeswalker.
Sure.
Your hand are the spells that you currently have in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And your library are the spells that you have access to but that you haven't, you know, brought to light yet in your brain. So, I mean, drawing spells is essentially you're digging through those memories and those, those tools to try to find an effective solution to a problem.
Right.
Well, I mean, like, that's why you have some of the most notable draw cards and you got Brainstorm and Ponder. What are those, you know, come to your mind? You know, when you think about brainstorming and ponder.
It's true.
I wish like anyone who played Ponder would just sit there and go like this with like holding their chin and staring at the battlefield like every time they played it though. Then I would call them on, you know, delay of game.
Right. Or if they cast Brainstorm, they pull out a pad of paper and just start writing stuff down.
They're passing around
like,
the table.
They're coming out with like rap ideas and stuff like that. I'm just brainstorming some lyrics over here. I don't know why, but I just thought about they should have referees for Magic. Not like judges. Like guys in like black and white stripes, like running over, throwing a yellow flag on there. Holding, you know, delay of game.
They just
five life points.
Charge over and whip a flag on the table.
At the table, at the person.
Yes, at the person. Oh, you got that little knob on the end. Just right away.
Just catch someone right in the eye. Ah!
He's like looking at the replay. There's like a box over there. He's just like staring inside, looking at the replay. Oh, no, no, no. He actually did tap the correct mana. I see it now. I see it now.
I see it now.
Oh, that'd be great. You just make a little bit
play of a 2-10-point penalty. First down.
First main phase.
First main phase. Just and begin.
It goes back to free phase. Combat.
Oh. Oh, wow. This is going places, guys.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I think of trying to, like, make Magic tournaments a little bit more exciting. Like, they are exciting to the players, but, like, when you're watching, like, live streams, it like, depending on who's commenting, like, there's that British guy, I forget his name, but he does, like, the Magic Pro Tour stuff. And he always acts like it's the most exciting thing possible every time he plays a card. Like, dude.
He played a forest!
It's like, amazing! He's playing a forest right now. It's happening for green mana. And he's just like, dude, settle down for just a second. And he's like, he's a freak about the numbers. So if Puerto Rico wins in this round, then they've got the best winning percentage, and they will go to the final round. And like, he's just getting all excited about it. I don't know. I'm just like, settle down.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out for him.
Right? So, but I don't know. I was thinking about ways to make more lively.
Sure.
Referees would be
well, you know, one way to not make a game more lively is to play blue. Because
that's
you,
for you
enter, no, no, you, if you're playing blue, you, by contract, enter into the world of Drago. Drago. I'm gonna explain this to Dave, because Dave doesn't know what Drago is. Drago is the action of, it's my turn. Untap, upkeep, draw, pass turn. Oh no, usually play a land, pass turn. And that's, you know, that's the way blue rolls. Because if they've got anything to do, it's happening on your turn.
Yeah,
yeah,
it'll,
the most part.
It'll be counter spells, or it'll be flash, or it'll be whatever the hell they feel like, because.
I mean, I do like things that, like, gameplay that's alternative than the normal. Like, when you're using, their decks and their cards and trying to build them up, that's a different resource than life points, you know, or
sure,
different right. winning conditions, stuff like that. Like, so playing on their turn, I think is almost like using a different resource. You're using their turn, their, you know, in between phases to get some stuff done. I kind of like it every once in a while.
And I think, too, it kind of reflects the, what they were going for in the cards, you know, like you said, it's all mental and, you know, knowledge and stuff.
Absolutely.
And I think that reflects when you're playing it too. It's, you know, your opponent's on their toes, and it's almost like playing mind games. Like what do they have? You know,
yeah.
What do they have? And what
it
are they
definitely
playing?
Is. And that's, and you know, our last episode, we were talking about tells. Blue is really the color you look at.
Yeah.
For when it comes to tells, because if you're playing against a mono green player, chances are high, they're not going to do much on your turn.
Right.
So they'll say, Grizzly Bears go.
Yeah.
You know, they're tapped out, they've done their thing, and then they just kind of sit back and just kind of wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's Green's mentality,
yeah.
Which we'll talk about in our next color segment.
Right.
But we're talking about blue today.
No, but I'm just using it as a comparison.
Yeah.
Blue is, you know, the opposite of that. They're the ones where you have to really sit and watch what they're doing.
Absolutely.
You have to see what kind of mana they have untapped. You have to see how they're handling their cards. Even that's one thing I didn't talk about, is watching people handle their cards. It's a little more difficult to do, but you know, the way they fidget around with their cards, the way they react to what they just drew, things like that. And the blue player, they're the ones that are relying on the element of surprise.
Right.
You know, yeah. They're the ones that need to be able to pull out that clutch unsummon or that clutch counterspell or
absolutely.
Whatever it needs to be. They need to try to trick the other player into being able to trick them, you know?
Right.
And that's why, like guys like Snapcaster, when that thing came out, I mean, blue players were just freaking the heck out because that's exactly what they want to do. They want to have that clutch, like, Snapcaster, you know, go target something that you already thought that I couldn't do anymore, you know, because it's in my graveyard.
When Snapcaster came out, blue players collectively needed to change their pants.
You heard it here first.
You didn't hear it here first. You heard it when they spoiled it. And you heard, like a third of Magic players around the world go, oh!
You
and then shuffle into their bedroom.
Just heard it.
Around the world.
the hell is that supposed to be?
Don't ask him what that is. Just
this, this, just no, we move on. We move on.
We move on.
We move on.
Move on.
We move on.
Oh.
Collectively.
Yeah, sure. 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 Mm.
What do you think I meant, you weirdo?
God.
I think you both are the weirdos.
I'm the normal one because I'm here doing a magic podcast.
Yeah, you are the normal one, Mr.
Normal
Tupperware.
One. It's Pyrex! How many times do I have to say it?
Well, that's so easy.
I think we should do a segment where we all create our own cards.
Oh, sure. I've actually been talking to a guy who's been doing that. Him and his buddies have been
but
making
the stipulation
own
is yours has to do with Tupperware.
Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Sure, Tupperware card.
Yep.
I like it.
What was the card that they had me... I came up with a card for them. I think it was like Cosmic Regurgitation, I think I called it. It was something like... what was it? It was like Return All Exiled Cards back on the battlefield, something like that. It was pretty fun. It looked like a fun card. So yeah, they're building their own set.
Okay.
And it was a pretty fun project. I was like,
we're talking about blue right now?
Yes, we are.
I'm sorry, I sidetracked with Tupperware.
You suck. You both suck. This podcast. Come on.
Come
What's
on.
Happening?
Come on. Get it together.
All right.
We're here.
Blue is the master of prolonging games.
Yes.
If a game is going to end quickly, it's not going to be at the hands of a blue player.
Every time I call time and round, and there's one match left, one of them is a blue player.
Yep.
It is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just, again, you know, going to the colors. Red is a color of finality. You know, green is a color of finality. If something's happening, it's happening now, and they're just going to get it done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But blue is a color of, let's stall you out eternally until I can draw that one spell in my deck that will win me the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or just finally out-tempo you with Snapcasters or something, I don't know. It really is the thinking man's color.
Sure.
But that doesn't make it any better in my eyes.
I don't think any of us were saying it would.
I don't like blue.
Yeah, you
don't
really
like
don't
blue.
Like blue.
I don't like blue.
I have a healthy relationship with blue.
I don't like blue.
Oh, jeez. Anyways. Moving along.
I want to cut so much shit out of this episode. Just chop, 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 chop.
But of course, though, like, you know, you're going to see a different dynamic come back with blue with Return of Ravnica. I know we were talking about it last time.
Mm-hmm.
But mixing blue and red, people try and pull it off a lot. But I think finally, you know, with a lot of these cards, it's going to make it a little bit easier, a little bit more, working together.
Cohesive, yeah.
Cohesive.
Sure.
What do they call it in Magic? Synergy.
Yeah, something like that.
It's gonna have synergy.
Synergy.
Isn't that like a corporate, like...
Yeah, we need to synergize, people.
You're fired.
If you're a boss, you just need to walk in and be like, yep, synergy.
Synergy, baby.
Promote synergy.
My first billion.
I mean, so like blue-white has been a thing, you know, because it's one of the allied, you know, colors, but blue-red, I'm kind of excited. You know, you see a lot of contrast,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they're pulling at each other, but they're also, you know, working together to kind of make that control chaos.
Yeah.
Work. So, yep. you know, blue's gonna have its, you know, it's gonna have some fun with it.
The controlled chaos for that chaos control.
Oh, I just thought about that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Come to Steve.
No one's ever seen Stealing Harvard?
No.
We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later.
For all of those who got that reference, email us at moreguysplaymagic@gmail.com.
Amazing. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, we don't really need to talk about counters or bounce.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I mean, it is worth pointing out, though, that it is the best removal of all time. I mean, there's nothing that beats counter spells.
Except other counter spells.
No, not even.
Countering a counter spell?
Well, countering a counter spell. It takes away a lot of your card advantage that you would have in your hand, too.
Yeah.
So it is like diminishing returns when you start countering your counter spell.
And then they counter your counter that countered their counter. Yeah.
And then you,
Oh god.
And then you play that counter spell that actually counters every single one on the stack.
Or you just play last word.
You're
like, no! Done!
Or you play that artifact you were playing earlier this weekend, that just ends the game. Or ends the turn.
Oh yeah, that didn't do anything?
Well, for that specific card, it's
yeah.
Anyways.
Sure.
But yeah.
Historically, blue has been the color that has received the most love from Wizards.
Yes.
Unbiased, unabashed. Or not unbiased.
A bit biased.
It's their prize child.
Biased, unabashed,
yeah.
Very, very spoiled. I mean, we mentioned that in the red episode too.
Yeah.
But it's weird. It's blue continues to get tools that meet and exceed its needs.
And they're like, oh, we didn't think about that.
Yeah, oh, jeez, whoops.
We didn't think that was going to be broken.
Yeah, sorry. And it happens every set. It's like there's some sort of blue thing that comes out where they're like, whoops, you know, after the fact.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
you
know, just
mean for that.
With a lot of things, you know, when stuff starts becoming a little bit overpowered, then it gets hated on and people find ways to balance it out. So I think the community helps out in balancing those kind of overpowered things a lot.
Sure.
So, you know, all in all, like towards the end of, you know, some kind of format season, people have figured it out and, you know, people get kind of tired with it. Like, what did they say at like one of the last big GPs? There was not one Delver deck showing up in the top 16, you know? And of course some people were screaming like, oh, it's the death of Delver. I think just a lot of people were like, we played this for months.
We're over it. Let's move
we're
on.
We're a bit over it, yeah. You know, so.
This is why I cannot take this professional scene seriously.
I mean, it's interesting.
It really is silly. It's like something little and insignificant happens and everyone loses their minds.
Well, not like loses their minds with people.
They
do. Have comments.
Was it you telling
me
about that?
You're making me losing my mind right now just by calling my Pyrex Tupperware. So, you know.
Was it you that was telling me about the one card that somebody threw in a sideboard?
Yeah, I mean,
amass the components, so, and everyone's all of a sudden like, amass the components, oh my god, oh, it is in our decks.
I mean, there's a lot of truth to, you know, guys who are in the, like, the top tiers as far as deck brewers online and at these different tournaments, and they'll throw stuff in there, and then you'll see the local metagame, people are like completely talking like, you know, they came up with that idea. They're like, oh yeah, amass the components, why wouldn't you put that in your sideboard? Of course you put that in your sideboard. You're like, really? Really?
That's my point.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm saying it's stupid.
But people, I mean, that's like the exact same thing with kids wearing Nikes because there's a Michael Jordan on the side of it. Like, because someone's famous and a lot of people admire him, they're gonna want to emulate them. That's in every kind of aspect of life. Why do you think, you know, I don't know, like, why do you think Justin Bieber has clothes that he sells at Target or something? People buy them. Because, you know, because Jerry Thompson put a card in a sideboard, a lot of people want to put that in their sideboard.
Popularity is an opiate of the masses. I mean, you're talking.
So you're complaining about something that's been like in our culture, even outside of Magic, for generations.
I guess I just don't understand it because I'm not stupid, and
sociology with Jaeger over here.
Fall into these.
If my mom had the money, I would have wanted some Nike shoes when I was a kid. That's all I'm gonna say.
I've never really had that problem.
Nikes under the table, see all the see.
I don't think I've ever had an issue where some popular figure has done something and I've been like, I want to do that too.
I'm pretty sure that I could figure out some time or another where you actually have been affected by a famous person.
We'll have an exercise later.
Sure.
We'll see if you can determine something that I've done.
I think what it is like, you can't just say that you're not affected by culture. Like, we were just listening to like the most popular viral video in like the last month. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to say like, oh, I'm not affected by culture. That's just a you know, flat out lie. Like, you are affected by culture. You just have to be aware of it enough so that you're not just making bad decisions because of it.
It depends on what your definition of culture is.
Oh, are we going into philosophy?
Sure.
With
four guys philosophize about marriage.
Four guys philosophize.
Four guys philosophize.
Four guys. Listen to that other podcast. But anyways, I mean.
So blue is a pretty good color. It's
so.
I mean, do we have any other thoughts about blue? We sort of went off topic.
I mean, we've been talking about blue for episode after episode. Yeah. So it's we're done. Kind of covered.
I am gassy.
Yes, and Dave is gassy.
Blue likes flying creatures.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes. You know, blue likes flying creatures. That is the easiest way that I've always seen to like win games in limited, especially.
Oh yeah.
Is like, especially like Corset. Oh my god. You find a flyer and you play them. And they go, oh, I forgot about that. I forgot that my green creatures had reach and I had to put A in my deck, so I screwed.
By the way, Talrand's Invocation. That seems good.
So good.
Talrand's Invocation, two flying Drake tokens for 4 mana.
Oh.
So you're getting like the most efficient you want out of like a limited format. You get 4 power for 4 mana.
Wow.
And it's split up into 2 flyers. And you're like, deal with
it. You can't even kill it with one removal spell.
Exactly.
So you gotta use 2 or 2 creatures or something.
So you're just sitting there taking 2.
Yeah. Do you remember that draft that we did where I showed you my pool and I had 2 Talrand's Invocations?
Oh my goodness.
And you were like disgusted. Yes. You walked away, you're like, ugh. You know, I talk about how much I hate blue, but I do play it quite a bit. Actually, I found that blue is probably one of my better colors.
Because I mean, people are going to throw that into their stuff all the time because they want to get advantages out of it that blue has.
I like drawing stuff. Yeah. I love drawing cards. So great. Edric Spymaster of Wind. Right. Draw all of the cards.
My hands are huge. And then I play Reliquary Tower because my hand
has no... Reliquary Tower is blue?
Yep, because that's the playmat.
But you were talking about all the lots of creatures having flying. I think that kind of goes with the whole water theme and the islands, you know?
because you have to fly from island to island.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, like it just sense. In general.
It's kind of like a lot of black creatures having flying because they need to stay out of that nasty swamp.
I know.
Ugh. Ugh.
Probably smells like sulfur
and poop
and old cars. And...
Though the red blue land is called Sulfur Falls, a waterfall of sulfur.
Mm. What do you think?
Actually, now that I think about it, I don't want to ever play that card again because I'm just gonna think about that now.
And then you get the taste in your mouth.
Yeah, you look at the waterfall, it's just like...
Yeah, so much sulfur.
Just like, just like oozing over the side instead of water streaming. It's just
it just
like
kind of builds up bubbling. At the top and then just kind of...
falls off in chunks. Just a splat of sulfur. And every time it smells like rotten eggs.
I'm going to start doing that in Magic tournaments. I'm going to like be facing my opponent playing certain cards. Have you ever thought about this card and what it actually means?
It's going to
be like, judge, he's annoying the crap out of me.
I am very uncomfortable playing this gentleman.
Game loss, please.
Blue's cool.
Blue's cool.
Blue's clues. Blue's
cool. No, we're not talking about blues.
Mail's here. Oh, wow, it came full circle. Look at that. Yeah, I think that's about it for blue. Do you guys have any final, any other thoughts about blue?
I think we've covered it.
Blue?
I think we just blew ourselves.
We did. Yep.
I gotta say it. So when I was a kid,
oh, yes.
My grandfather had a business partner named Jimmy. But also my grandfather would frequently take me to the Century, which is a local grocery store bakery,
yep.
And I would get a donut with Jimmy's on it. So every time he would mention his business partner, Jimmy, it was like Pavlov's dog. I would always think I'm gonna get like some dessert with Jimmy's on it. And so I would like, he was like the awesomest guy ever. I don't know, like, I don't know why those nerve endings always fired at the same time whenever he said Jimmy's, but I put both of those together. I'm just gonna put that out there.
Jaeger, you're fat.
Give me all the Jimmy's.
Coming from the fattest guy. Like a boss.
Balls of steel. Because I have balls of steel.
Alright, here we are for our second segment today. I don't know how well this is going to go because we didn't actually plan this or talk about it at all, but I just want to get a feel for it.
Because, you know, the ones we planned went so well.
Yeah, of course. Dude, we are all over this podcast biznaz. We got this. We got this by the ass.
I did like the comment on MTGCast where the guy was like, this is my favorite first podcast ever.
Oh, I said it was the best first episode of a podcast he's ever heard.
I was like,
thank you.
We're doing big things.
Listener.
I think whoever that's a good claim.
I'll look up your name later. We'll give you credit in the show notes. How's that?
Show notes.
Okay, today's second topic is going to be a kickstart of our Let's Fix a Deck or Deck Doctor or Fix It.
I like Deck Doctor.
I think it might be taken already. I may have heard that somewhere.
TM.
We'll see.
TM.
We'll see. We'll figure out a name for it.
The $5 million deck. We'll make it faster, stronger.
We have the technology.
I like this.
Nice.
TM.
TM. TM. We got this. The $5 million
deck. It's like calling dibs. TM.
Shotgun.
Okay. Okay. The deck of choice today is actually one of my decks. Yes, that's right. The guy who is the self-proclaimed best Magic player at this table, because I totally am.
Can I be self-proclaimed?
Comes
too?
To you. I mean, you can, but you'll be wrong.
Oh, okay.
But if it's self...
Shut up. Don't think about it too hard. You'll hurt yourself. The deck that I'm bringing forward to everyone today is the deck that I played on the first episode of Four Guys Play Magic, because this is a deck that is near and dear to my heart.
I remember this one.
This is a deck that...
He brought all those little dudes that would like gain him advantage whenever they went to the graveyard. Yep.
I'm going to talk about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to dissect the deck right here. It was episode one.
You'll remember.
As I detailed in episode one, I started playing in Kamigawa, and as such, this is one of my first deck concepts that I actually got rolling.
This one.
I've done changes and made edits to it, but unfortunately, it's still not there. and I can't figure out what to do with it. I want to see if you guys can give me some suggestions to try to flesh it out. So, without further ado, I present to you Spiritual Journey, which is a...
Not to be confused with what happens when you take little pink pills.
It is what happens when you take little pink pills. This is a spiritual journey that we'll be embarking on. This is a four-color Zubera Life Spinner deck. To people who know what those cards are, it might mean something. To anyone else, I'll explain. Like I said, the basis of the deck is four colors. I have 23 lands. A little light, but my curve is kind of low, and the way that I get my big mana guys out is a cheaty way anyway, so I don't usually need to cast them. The construction of the deck is as such. I have four sets of four of my primary Zuberas, and I'll go over those real quick. It is, for one in a green, Dripping Tongue Zubera. For one in a black, Ashen Skin Zubera. For one in a blue, Floating Dream Zubera. And for one in a white, Silent Chant Zubera. So that's four of each. The way that their abilities work, they're all 1/2s, and they're all Zubera spirits. And they all have an ability that reads very similar to the one I'll read right now. Dripping Tongue Zubera says, when Dripping Tongue Zubera is put into a graveyard from play, or from the battlefield as Oracle text would have it, put a 1/1 colorless spirit creature token into play for each Zubera put into a graveyard from play this turn. What that means is if I have one, and the effects for the other ones, the black one is target player discards a card for each Zubera, blue is I draw a card for each Zubera, and white is I gain 2 life for each Zubera. What this means is if I have one Zubera die, I get one of the effect.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a second one die later on, I get 2 of the effect. If I have another one die later on again, I get 3 of the effect. If I have multiples die at once, I get as many as died for each of their effects.
But it's just that turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's say I have a Floating Dream, a Silent Chant, and a Dripping Tongue on the field at once. So that's the 1/1 spirit token, 2 life, and 3 cards. If for some reason all three of these died at once, all three of their abilities will trigger 3 times. They don't actually trigger 3 times, okay. It just triggers as a x3 ability. So I would draw 3 cards off a Floating Dream, I would gain 6 life off a Silent Chant, and I would get 3 1/1 spirit tokens with Dripping Tongue. So I mean, you guys can kind of see, you know, where it starts with this. You know, these guys need to die in order to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
The key that I have implemented in this deck to unlock them is a card called Life Spinner. Life Spinner is a 3/3 spirit that costs 3 and a green. His ability is tap, sacrifice 3 spirits. Search your library for a legendary spirit creature and put it into play. That's actually a legendary spirit card. And put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library.
And all your Zuberas are spirits.
All of my Zuberas are spirits. So the way that this synergizes is I get Life Spinner out. If he can survive for a turn, I tap him, sacrifice preferably 3 Zuberas, get their effect, and then get the effect of getting a big spirit to enter the battlefield.
What are your big spirits?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go over them first. I have 4 in the deck. I only have 1 of each. The reason I keep it so light is because if they're in my hand, they're a lot more useless than if they're in my library. I have the following. Kodama of the Center Tree. He is a star. He costs 4 colorless and a green. Kodama of the Center Tree's power and toughness are each equal to the number of spirits I control. And Kodama of the Center Tree has Soul Shift X, where X is the number of spirits I control. Soul Shift is a goofy mechanic from Kamigawa where when he dies, I can return a spirit card with converted mana costs equal to that Soul Shift or less from my graveyard to my hand. So like if I have 7 spirits out, I could return something of 7 or less when he dies.
Yep.
He's the lowest mana cost. He's the one I can most feasibly cast if I draw him, and he synergizes off of just having a lot of creatures. I have Oyobi, who split the heavens. He is a 3/6 flyer for 6 and a white. And his ability is whenever you play... Oh, these are all legendary spirits, I should say. I mean, that should be self-explanatory with what Life Spinner does. His ability says, if whenever you play a spirit or arcane spell, put a 3/3 white spirit creature token with flying into play. So he pumps out dudes fast. My next one is Seki, Season's Guide. He is a 0/0 for 5 green. So he costs 8 normally. Again, cheating him out most of the time. His ability is read. Seki, Season's Guide, comes into play with 8 +1/+1 counters on it. If damage would be dealt to Seki, prevent that damage, remove that many 1/1 counters from him, and put that many 1/1 colorless spirit creature tokens into play, and sacrifice 8 spirits, return Seki from my graveyard to play. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about some synergy with him later. And then my last one is The Unspeakable, who is a 6/7 flying trample for 6 blue, blue, blue. And his ability reads, boo boo. His ability reads, whenever the Unspeakable deals combat damage to a player, you may return target arcane card from your graveyard to your hand.
Arcane card. Being...
Arcane is a subset of instants and sorceries.
Okay.
I do have some arcane cards in here. As for, there's some fluff in the deck, I'll get to that last. My last key to this whole engine is the next card. He is called Shire, Shizo's Caretaker. He is a 2-2 legendary creature spirit for 4 and a black, and I have 4 of him in my deck. And his ability reads, whenever a creature with power 1 or less is put into your graveyard from play, you may return that creature card to play under your control at the end of turn if Shire, Shizo's Caretaker, is still in play.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go over the engine for you guys. After I'll finish up the last couple cards. I have 2 copies of, that has a signature for the artist on it.
Like a boss.
Wayne Reynolds, that's why it's written on there. I have 2 copies of Petalmane Baku. He's a 1-2 for 1 and a green. Whenever you play a spirit or arcane spell, you may put a key counter on Petalmane Baku, and then I can pay 1, remove X key counters from him to add X mana of any one color to your mana pool. He's mana fixing.
Mm-hmm.
Charges up when I cast stuff. 3 copies of Kodama's Reach, which is a arcane sorcery for 2 and a green. Search your library for 2 basic lands. Put 1 into your hand and the other into the battlefield tapped.
Yep.
And then 4 copies of Ribbons of the Reikai, which is a sorcery arcane for 4 and a blue. Draw a card for each spirit you control. So that's the deck. 23 land. My land base is fine. I very rarely have mana issues. So.
What's the difference between Kodama's Reach and Cultivate?
That's an arcane spell.
Gotcha.
That's it. They're literally the exact same, other than that. So just to kind of put this together for you guys, the way that this engine works is Zuberas are my fodder.
Yeah.
Life Spinner is my sack outlet. And Shire is my return.
Right.
So 3 spirits, Life Spinner. If I have Shire on the battlefield, which is a good position to be on, I don't think I can work it out to be on turn 5, but like on turn 6, I can have it together. Tap Life Spinner, kill 3 spirits, search for one of my big guys. At the end of turn, if Shire's still out, these spirits all come back to play.
Mm-hmm.
I've still got their benefits for dying.
If they died that turn.
Yeah. Well, he has to be on the battlefield. So, like, one of the things I can't do, if I tap Life Spinner and sack 3 spirits, I can't search for Shire, bring him out, and then get him back from him. He needs to be on the battlefield continuously through all of the effects.
Right, and by the time you have him out, I'm guessing some of your Zuberas have already died turns prior, so you're not getting as much out. I mean, like...
Possibly, but I have 16 of these guys in here.
Sure.
I mean, there's a chance I chump blocked with them or something, but...
I mean, turn 6, I mean, some things have to have happened.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Well, and this is the form that I present this deck to you guys. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I have my own ideas of a couple things I can do to fix, but as it stands, it's slow. It's a casual deck. It's good for multiplayer. But yeah, it really takes till about turn 6 to get rolling, and that's hopefully if I haven't been messed with at all.
Yeah, if it's multiplayer and, like, some people have been playing, like, you see every once in a while a multiplayer where they're like, let's all build up our own stuff, I'm not going to attack you.
Battle Cruiser.
You know,
yeah.
And then, you know, you might have a very good advantage having your whole entire engine on the field, but, you, I mean, you can't expect for that to happen.
Sure.
The first thing that came to my mind was I didn't like the Star guy. There we go.
Okay.
Kodama, because I'm assuming in... Not an ideal, but a just lesser ideal situation. You're sacrificing guys to get him on the field, probably not going to have Shire out. And so, yeah, you might get one off of the guy that produces a spirit. So he might, at best, like, you're like in turn 3 or 4, you just sacrifice a bunch. Maybe you have, like, 3 spirits on the field, and now he's at 3-3. Mm-hmm. So he's not as impressive when your engine... Is sending spirits to the graveyard.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, I would actually even think, like, you know, more recently there's been some graveyard loving, you know, with, like, Splinter Frights and... Is Splinter Fright a spirit?
I don't know.
Is Splinter Frights a spirit?
He's not a legendary.
He's not a legendary. But, I mean, like, he's cheap to cast, too. So, I mean, like, he might get a little bit off of you putting all that stuff into your graveyard. Where I see...
He's an elemental.
Is he an elemental? Okay. But, I mean, like, there's some stuff that lately... has been coming out that benefits off the graveyard. So you might want to take a look at that.
Okay.
Do you have any ideas so far?
I that was the point I was actually going
to. Okay, well,
I stole your thunder.
Let me
actually going to make a good point for being the total new guy here.
let me throw this out there. We've got Kodama of the Center Tree is usually not the guy I search for first.
Okay.
If I do search for him, it's when I'm in a very good position and I just need a huge beater.
Sure.
You know, unfortunately he doesn't have trample, but with the board states that I can pull off sometimes with this deck, he is ludicrous. Like, he can get up to the 20s and 30s just from tokens.
It seems that they could.
The Seki Seasons Guide seems a little subpar at first glance, but he actually has a little bit of synergy with Shire. If you take a look at him, he's a 0/0.
Right.
And as he's dealt damage, you remove counters and put spirits into play. If he dies due to lethal damage, he goes to the graveyard as a 0/0.
He does.
Shire will bring him back because he has power 1 or less.
He'll come into play
with 8 more 1/1 counters on him. And I'll still have 8 spirit tokens.
Yeah, if he dies, yeah. I'm pretty sure that that's legit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm always bad with what they actually are. Stuff like that, like Star-Stars and 0/0s on the graveyard.
Sure. Well, Star-Star is whatever it was when it died.
Yeah.
But with this guy, if he's getting tokens removed, those all get removed, and then he dies as... Mm-hmm. Like, that's why he dies. It's a state-based action, because he has 0 toughness.
I really do like the Oyobi, because he's bringing out bigger spirits.
Yep. Oyobi's very good. Actually, Oyobi is the reason I put white in here. This used to be a green-blue-black deck, and Oyobi, and I'm just throwing in the Silent Chanzibaras as all my white.
You're seeing your 4 colors, you're pulling off okay?
Yeah, decently. Okay. I mean, I could always do more work on my land base, but I don't. It's a casual deck, so I don't really want to stuff money, mana fixing in there.
Yeah.
It's like I got Rupture Spires and Vivid Lands. My biggest downfalls for this deck is vulnerability.
Yeah, because you're sitting there wide open until you get things going.
Yep.
Something I'm just curious about. You said that your whole, to an extent, your whole key to the engine is
Life Spinner.
Right, Life Spinner,
mm-hmm.
Which is it putting them into play?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you have these, which the ribbons mm-hmm. for drawing cards. You're paying a lot, but you're drawing cards. Mm-hmm. But
I can justify the ribbons by saying this deck, if I don't have some way to start digging through my library a little bit, it putters out. Really
right, understandable, but at the same token, you're paying 5 mana.
Sure.
Which, you know...
Yeah, but I think the reason why he puts this in there, because he gets what they call recursion, like, you get to get that back again. It doesn't just go, I play it and it's dead in the graveyard. He does get them back because of what's his fate.
Okay, sure.
So,
I can get that
cards like this,
get
even though they're expensive,
right.
Okay. When you can play them over and over continuously,
you get
more efficiency out of them. You get more value.
I forgot about his...
That's the reason why he has these arcane spells.
Okay.
And a 6/7 beater is not too bad.
No, not at all. He gets work done.
Yeah.
Actually, looking back at the first episode, it's one of the mistakes I made. My Life Spinner got knocked out by one of Brian's spells, and I could have...
Was it a Treacherous Slip?
No, it was some Exile spell.
Oh, Brian's spells.
They got knocked out by that. I forgot that they had Vigilance when they were attacking.
Yeah.
If I had remembered that, in response to him casting that spell, I would have sacked him and then my 2 Zuberas and went and grabbed something.
Yep.
So I wouldn't have just lost them in vain and kind of puttered out. I probably still would have puttered out because, you know, you guys are running removal like crazy.
That trumpet.
That was fun. One of the ideas that I've had, you guys can take this as you think. That's what I'm looking at. I only have 2 copies so far, but I just threw down a card called Asceticism. It's a 5 mana enchantment that says creatures I control have Shroud. Creatures I control have Hexproof, and I can pay 2 to regenerate target creature.
You know, and I played this card in Limited before, and I thought it was hilarious, and some of my opponents were just like, are you kidding me? Why would you play that card? I'm like, because you can't deal with nothing.
Right.
Unless you can kill enchantments randomly in a Limited format.
Right.
Well,
and looking at our first game, where I got my key pieces got knocked out by 2 pieces of targeted removal, nobody was running enchantment hate.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I think that...
It's usually a very, very targeted thing that you don't usually see in a main board.
Right.
Even casual decks, especially casual.
Right.
And it's good. I mean, this one doesn't say green creatures, which you would expect from this, but it's just all creatures.
Mm-hmm. And I had an early build of the deck had Lightning Greaves in it.
Yeah.
Like, I think a playset of Lightning Greaves, but those kind of, the haste was nice because I could get my Life Spinner to go off a turn earlier.
Right.
But it's not enough, you know.
Yeah.
I think that, putting those in will combat that whole problem of you getting going, because you will have the time to get going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if all your creatures are protected from spells, all you have to worry about is swinging damage.
Sure.
And, you know, that, I mean...
Well,
it won't necessarily make the process faster, but it'll make it safer to the point where you can get to that point.
Sure. Yeah, interesting thing might be if you got a little bit, if you took out some of those guys and the guys that draw your cards off the spirits and replaced them with like two Genesis waves, if you, because everything's so cheap, you know, you'd be able to dig a bit deeper and you would get more synergy off of all your little guys going off at the same time.
Well, it does not come into play though. It's a die effect.
Right, but I'm saying they all come in, and now, like, if, you know, one of the guys, because, like, in multiplayer lot of trends, you want to try and get board sweeps.
Yeah.
Rats.
So, bonfires. He rats on me, you're like, sweet. You know?
Sure.
So.
I can see it.
Because if you're at the five mark, well, that would only, if you did it for five.
Two cards.
Yeah, there'd be two cards. But, I mean.
This deck doesn't have problems making mana.
Right.
It doesn't. That's one thing I can say about it. My mana just goes nuts after a while.
Right, so, I mean, Genesis, like, you're getting so much value out of a turn where instead of your land flooded and you're playing a two-cost guy.
Okay.
So that might be something to think about.
Sure, sure.
I was thinking Green Sun Zenith to try and get out the Life Spinner, but I don't know if that would really work out too well. I don't think you need more targets, I think.
Damon, you're not on top of all the cards or whatever, but do you have any thoughts?
But see, that's the problem, is I'm not familiar with a lot of the cards, so it's, you know.
That was kind of, I mean, like, this is the first time doing this. I don't expect us to go crazy. Like, like I said earlier, I did spring this out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Just to see how it goes and see what kind of things we can come up with.
Well, and a lot of your decks have been zombies and humans so far.
Yes.
Very tribal. I mean, it's common, no offense, but it's common for newer players to kind of go for tribal because it's easier
to
build.
That's very true. That I know I immediately, like, my first F&M deck was a tribal vampire deck. I thought it was like the shiz, and I got just, oh my goodness, just beaten to death. Though it did, I did have a good laugh out of it. And a little side note, I was playing an F&M, and this was back when, what's that, two black cost removal? You remove like all non-werewolf.
Victim of Night.
Victim of Night is an instant where you kill any like non-werewolf vampire or whatever. And this guy had been holding it in his hand the entire match, and he just straight out asked me, he's like, do you have any non-vampires in that deck? I'm like, nope. And he shows me Victim of the Night, and I just have a huge laugh, and the guy's just getting pissed. He's like, this new kid is just, you know, beating the pants off of me because I can't remove any of his stuff.
He probably learned a valuable lesson there.
Learned a valuable lesson. Why you don't throw it is some of the best removal.
I'm gonna throw this out there. I don't know if this will actually pertain to this deck, but I have another deck that I just built. I'll just kind of give you guys the summary. It is also a Zubera deck.
Oh,
it's
surprise.
Five color.
Oh my goodness.
So the fifth color of Zubera is red, and his is, he deals one damage to target creature or player for each Zubera that died this turn.
Really? You went from a four color to a five color that didn't have red, and now you added red for the fifth color?
Yes.
Why not?
Okay, no, this one didn't.
You know, there's no six color.
This one didn't need red. So the way the other Zubera deck works is I have four of all the Zuberas.
Yep.
I have two or three of a couple of alternate Zuberas who are terrible, but I put them in there anyway. There's only two of them. They made a red one and a blue one. And both of them say they're still Zubera spirits, and they are four. They're three threes for four.
Mm-hmm.
And they both say when this creature dies, if it was dealt four or more damage this turn, get an effect. And the red one is deal three damage to a creature or player, and the blue one is draw three cards.
Mm-hmm.
So 24, or it might be 26 Zuberas in the deck. I can't remember. A playset of a card very similar to Ribbons of the Raikai. It's one that says choose a creature type and draw a card for each creature of that type you control.
Mm-hmm.
Distant Memory, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And costs four instead of five. Playset of those. A playset of Bonfire of the Damned, which deals 13 damage to each creature and costs a red less for each creature on the battlefield.
No, not Bonfire. You're thinking Blast from the
Sect. I'm sorry. Blast from the Sect.
I was like, when did you get four Bonfires?
No,
drop 200 bucks?
That was a misspeak. Oh man, I really like some Bonfires. Jeez.
But I do believe you just dropped, what, 300 plus bucks?
Blasphemous Act. Blasphemous Act is...
On what?
I'll tell you later.
Blasphemous Act is 8 and a red, deal 13 damage to each creature, and it costs a colorless less for each creature on the battlefield. And a playset of Faith's Reward, which is 3 and a white, return all creatures to the battlefield that died this turn, or all creatures you control to the battlefield that died this turn. So, the engine works very similar, except I just field wipe and then bring them all back constantly.
Yeah.
Field wipe, bring them back. Field wipe, bring them back. And, like I said, it's a different mechanic. It still uses Zuberas because I love Zuberas. They're awesome.
What is a Zubera?
This is a creature type.
Some sort of spirit. This is unique to Kamigawa, so.
You're going to come in contact with a lot of different creatures.
They're cool, man. Look at the art. They're so badass. I love Kamigawa.
I like this one.
Well, of course, the black one.
I didn't play.
Oh Kamigawa yeah, you very like much. The white one, Jaeger?
Well,
no, Leo, why don't you go? Why don't you go like, supremacist a little bit?
He's like
he's a monk.
He's not a monk. He like hasn't eaten in 30 years.
Yeah. He's a monk.
He needs some
so
food.
No monks eat.
Also,
is
he's
this
a,
what we're doing here.
Yes,
and he's a spirit. Spirits shouldn't have like that kind of
training. Actually, the blue one's really.
He has a top knot.
Okay, let me see the blue one.
Floating dream is pretty awesome.
Blue one's okay. I like probably the green one the best.
A nasty tongue.
Yeah, this is crazy time. Reminds me of Left 4 Dead 2.
Okay, well, I mean, you guys, is there anything else you can kind of think of?
Just a quick question, actually.
Yeah.
What is your thought on Yomiji who bars the way?
Mm-hmm. Is he Zubera?
He no. is. No, he's legendary spirit.
Yomiji who bars the way is a legendary spirit. He's a 4-4 for 7.
What's his special ability?
Whenever a legendary permanent other than Yomiji who bars the way is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, return that card to its owner's hand.
That means he's gonna have to hard cast like every one of his legendaries.
But it no. brings him back.
Well, kind of. It's true. Yeah, I think the only issue with that is he has to be out, and then I have to have another legendary
right,
out, and
right.
it has to be the other legendary that dies.
Right.
I mean, he's a little rough because for that reason. I mean,
yeah.
I think four is really my max for my legendaries right now.
Right.
And I mean, Kodama the Center Tree is certainly on the bottom of the list.
Yes.
There's what is she called? I'm just gonna have to look it up.
While you're looking it up, I know it's not an arcane, but I was looking up Lingering Souls. And I know you want to sacrifice your Zuberus to Life Spinner,
uh-huh.
but it wouldn't hurt to like get out some really value spirits.
Which one did you say?
Lingering Souls.
Sure. Oh, okay.
Because then you can hold off on these Zuberus and get like full value out of them by like mass getting rid of them while feeding your Mind Spinner.
Life Spinner
with your Lingering Souls.
Okay.
It's just really cheap spirits.
Sure. I actually kind of like that.
I do like that.
And they're spirits. I mean, they're a different type of spirit, but they're spirits.
And it's got flashback.
Yeah, it does. So you don't necessarily need it to come back to your hand with the,
right.
the one guy. That's a thought.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if she'll work or not. Well, here we go. If we could figure out a way to do graveyard synergy, this one's kind of interesting. Iname, Death Aspect. She's a 4-4 legendary spirit for 6. It's 4 and a 2 black. When Iname, Death Aspect, enters the battlefield, you may search your library for any number of spirit cards and put them into your graveyard.
Wow.
Interesting. And then there's Iname, Life Aspect as well, which says, when Iname, Life Aspect dies, you may exile it. If you do, return any number of target spirit cards from your graveyard to your hand.
Hmm.
So, brings them from graveyard to hand, which is okay, but... Well, I'm thinking the Name Death Aspect, if I could figure out some way to...
Some way, yeah.
I think there's a way you can to get a lot of value out of these guys being your graveyard.
What's that, Living End or Living Death? Is that what it's called?
Life's Finale?
No, there's one where it... Let me look up Living Death.
See, and this was always
yeah.
like how was they, when people around me were just like naming stuff randomly. I'm like, I don't know what the heck you're talking
yep.
about.
Each player, okay, so Living Death, listen to this. This might be an interesting direction to take this deck.
Wait, that enchantment?
Living Death is a sorcery. It costs 3 and 2 black.
Sure.
Each player exiles all creature cards from his or her graveyard, then sacrifices all creatures he or she controls, then puts all cards he or she exiled this way onto the battlefield. It reverses all of the stuff in your
it
graveyard
does.
With the battlefield.
Isn't there another one in my EDH deck that does similar?
Living End is a suspend one. Living End is a suspend of 2 and 2 black, and it does the same effect.
Okay. Yeah, I mean...
But it has no mana cost, so you can't actually cast it without suspending it.
I was thinking of Ill-Gotten Gains. That's not the same thing. It's very much far from
that. That's very different. That might... That would be a combo. Strangle Root Geist.
He's a spirit.
He is a spirit.
Sure. And he can be a lot more aggressive in the early game than your other dudes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a thought. Have you seen Strangle
Root
Geist before?
Yeah. He's got haste and undying.
He's got haste and undying, yeah.
Hmm.
So that's a thought. There's a lot of spirits that you don't think immediately that, like, hey, that's a spirit.
Yeah. They just kind of happen to be spirits.
Of course, you've already got white-blue, even though you don't have a lot of, like, if your mana is pretty solid, you could put in what's the Delver card that brings back the 1/1 spirits, but that exiles stuff out of your graveyard. Moorland Haunt.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just different things to bring out more spirits, if that's the case. But I don't know, that kind of works against your old graveyard
yeah.
idea and bringing them back
Yeah, that life one could just really, it could be topsy turvy because a lot of guys aren't going to be planning for a lot of their stuff to be in the graveyard by that time. Of course, there's a cheapo. Is it Oversold Cemetery?
Yeah, if you have like four or more creatures in your graveyard or something.
Yeah.
Beginning of your upkeep, if you have four or more creature cards in your graveyard, you may return a creature from your graveyard to your hand.
I mean, that just gets things back.
Sure.
It's very cheap. So those are some thoughts.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think we got some good suggestions to as a start for the deck. I mean, we can throw this out there. If anyone out there in the wide world of the internet has any suggestions for me, any thoughts you could give for a Zebra deck, I'll post the deck list for sure with this episode.
Absolutely.
And, I'll update it and kind of put some ideas and stuff. And, yeah, if anyone has any ideas, let me know. Shoot us an email at 4guysplaymagic@gmail.com. And,
or if you had a bad experience with Zubairs before and just hate them for out of spite, you can let us know.
Tell me to die in a fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, your reaction, Dave, to our first episode when I play a Zubair and you're like, it's like the most exacerbated sigh ever. And I called you out on it instantly. I'm like, calm down, you wiener. Yeah. That's why I have to build new decks. Because everyone cries and complains when I play anything.
Anything.
You guys are such baddies.
Oh, you play an island?
Oh my gosh. Alright, well thanks for the help, guys. I think,
always here to help you, Joe.
I think it's a decent segment. It's got some good ideas and some possible directions to take the deck.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Come to Steve.
Chub-toad.
Chub-toad.
I'm taking Chub-toad.
We just claimed those clothes. Dude, look at mine.
Dandan.
Just look at the picture. Wait, give it a second to
see. What is that down there? Is that a fish?
It's a humongous fish. You see how big that thing is?
Shit's happening.
It is coming out of the water to destroy those little rowboats and the fishermen on top of them. It is a massive, massive fish.
Damn. This guy's good today. Start replacing crew tomorrow.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Three Guys Play Magic, where both of these guys can f*** this s***.
Jackass, taking another hand.
You start swearing, I'm mulliganing. I'm calling shot,
Jack. That's enough to mulligan. And it's okay to say that you love me, cause I think of you,
still think of you.
Hi everyone and welcome back to Four Guys Play Magic. We just took a fabulous break. I can't remember if I announced we were taking a break or not.
We asked if we were going to take a break.
We just stopped, I guess. Whatever. That was a break. There'll be music.
We just awkwardly walked away. We put the phone down for a bit. Like, we assumed you're still talking.
We're talking about my deck and we're just like, bye.
Bye.
See you later.
Well, we're back now in case you were.
We're back. There's music. I'll edit this up and make it all pretty and fancy and we're gonna play a 60-card casual, 3-way, nothing fancy-pantsy, but it should be fun. By random determination of the god of rolls, or the roll gods.
And just to clarify, when he says no fancy pants, he actually means none of us are wearing pants right now.
None of us are wearing pants at all.
Right.
Fancy or not.
Yep.
Ever.
Ever.
This is how comfortable we are with playing magic.
Four nudists play magic. Sorry.
Mega Man! Mega Man!
Shut up! Just shut up! Alright,
Dave gets to go first.
I'll go first.
Yeah, and Matt and Dave both took mulligans. Matt got a free one, Dave got a free one, and then he took another one. So he's starting at 6. We'll see. What's that quote from Dodgeball?
Full strategy, Con. Let's see how it plays out for him.
I need to remember that. I can never remember it. Alright.
Alright, so, draw a card. Play swamp. Pass turn.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm gonna draw as well. I'm gonna play a forest. I'm going to tap it for a green. To play an Arbor Elf.
Birdies.
An Arbor Elf is a 1/1 elf druid. I can tap him to untap target forest. And pass turn.
Draw forest, go!
Yeah! Draw swamp, go!
Woo!
Draw.
Let's do this!
I'm gonna make this like awkwardly long. I'm gonna play a Rootbound Crag. It's a land that comes into play tap unless I control a mountain or a forest. And it can tap for red or green.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tap my forest for a Rancor, which is an enchant creature It gains +2/+0 and trample.
I'm gonna throw this out there. If you have a tragic slip, this would be a really good time to use it.
Because
tragic slip.
Well, let me re-rank for it first so they understand why that's a good move.
Okay.
It's an enchant creature. Enchant creature gets +2/+0 and trample. When Rancor is put into the graveyard from play, return Rancor to its owner's hand. So it hasn't met play yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in response to me casting this, you're playing Tragic Slip on my Arbor Elf.
Right.
So the Arbor Elf dies, and so Rancor does not have a target, so it just fizzles.
Fizzles, yes.
And does not go into the graveyard from play, it just goes to the graveyard. So
right.
I don't get it back in my hand.
Right.
Yep.
Sorry, I didn't mean to screw you over there, but...
No, that is completely
legit.
You're
playing a Rancor and an Arbor Elf, you jackass. You get what you deserve.
Hey, I'll draw the hate if I need to. So I'm going to say go.
Okay.
Sorry, Jaeger, no hard feelings.
No, not at all.
We'll play a mountain, and I'll say go.
Draw a step.
Nobody has commented on the fact that I'm playing a deck in bright pink sleeves.
I didn't want to bring it up.
Well, I just didn't care.
Bright pink sleeves. Oh, I like those. I'm going to get those sleeves that you have for my Angus McKenzie.
Yeah, he's pointing at some sleeves that Fantasy Flight came out with, a Lord of the Rings series, and this one is sweet elf, like in the forest, being cool and elvish.
I see. I'm not gonna actually.
Okay, I passed a an island here. I'm gonna tap up my lands.
Nobody cares.
For a Cemetery Reaper.
As we're all staring at my sleeves.
He's a 2/2. Other zombie creatures you control get +1/+1. Tap 2 black him. Exile target creature card from a graveyard. Put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield.
I'm feeling a little bit of deja vu here.
I only have 4 decks.
Yeah, we all don't make 6 decks a week, Joe.
Shush!
I will pass turn.
Oh, my turn. Draw. Oh jeez. I'm gonna play Cavern of Souls. It's a land. As Cavern of Souls enters battlefield, choose a creature type. I'm choosing humans.
Humans.
Add one to my mana pool. I can tap to add one to my mana pool, or tap to add one of my mana pool of any color of my mana pool. Spend this mana only to cast a creature spell with the chosen creature type. That spell can't be countered. Go.
See, Jaeger is the kind of guy that brings a Cavern of Souls to a casual table.
Okay, you know, this was deconstructed before, and I haven't done... Dang it, Joe, we all don't build 6 decks in a week.
I play an island, and I say... No, it's not an island, it's a plains, I'm sorry. I play plains. I can't remember what lands do anymore. I'll say go.
You're so cheap. Okay. You're telling the crowd that you're playing island, I'm going to tap this plains for blue.
I apologize, my friends.
Now, I forget. Abilities, can they be activated at any time?
Well, as long as he doesn't have summoning sickness, if he has to tap.
Right.
He doesn't anymore.
Right.
So yes.
You could
use that as a cry.
Right. Oh, I played a swamp, by the way, guys.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did.
Darn right you did. Play that swamp, Mother Hubbard.
I'm going to swing at Lee Jaeger for 2.
Okay.
No. Scratch that.
Okay.
If you have, like, something else you can play right now, that'd be fine. But... if you want to use his ability, you can leave him open and then...
Then the better play would be to do it at the end of Joe's turn. Then you'd have a creature.
Or do it like if somebody attacks you, then you can do it in response and then block.
Right.
Right.
Because you already have a target with my Arbor Elf.
Right. You know what I'm actually going to do?
Your first main phase? Or your...
Yeah, not my okay. first. Okay. First. Okay. We play a Diagraph Captain.
There we go.
Nice.
Death Touch, other zombie creatures you can control get +1/+1. Whenever another zombie you control dies, target opponent loses 1 life.
Nice. That's legit.
It's a 3-sided die, sir.
I know.
Oh, no, it's a 4-sided die.
You don't need to do dice.
I don't like that one.
We just, +1/+1s are always, because it's not a counter, so we usually don't need dice for it.
I'm using dice.
That's okay.
Let's put it in front. So
sure,
this
here
is
we
total
go.
Here we go.
It's an area.
And now I'm going to swing to Jaeger.
For 3?
For 3.
Dang, I take 3.
That zombie tribal.
I know, faster.
That's to me. Draw. I'm going to... I'm going to play Cavern of Souls. I'm going to name a creature type human. I'm going to tap them both for colorless, currently. And I'm going to play Garrick Relentless. Garrick Relentless is a planeswalker, subtype Garrick. When Garrick Relentless has 2 or fewer loyalty counters on him, transform him. His first 0 ability is he deals 3 damage to start a creature. That creature deals damage equal to its power to him. His other 0 ability is put a 2/2 wolf creature token onto the battlefield. I'm going to use that ability, put a 2/2 wolf out.
And he has a clause that says if he has fewer than 3 loyalty counters on him, he transforms.
I just said
did? Oh,
yeah, he said that.
I wouldn't
yeah.
It. It was the first thing.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I don't actually listen to you guys.
Okay.
Oh, alright.
I'm going to draw in. Just thought I'd let you know.
He starts out with 3 loyalty counters on him.
Okay, draw, play a forest, and I'm actually doing stuff.
Woo!
Woo!
Making headwinds.
Tapping out. I'm going to cast a Bloodbraid Elf.
Oh,
She is a 3-2 with haste, and she has an ability called Cascade. I'm only going to read this once, so pay attention. When you cast this spell, exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land card that costs less. You may cast it without paying its mana cost. Put the exiled cards on the bottom of my library in a random order.
So if you didn't pay attention, email us at fourguysplaymagic@gmail.com and ask us what Cascade is.
I'm going to start revealing cards. I don't know if you guys want me to read all of these. I'm just going to I hit a Cultivate, which is search my library for up to 2 basic land cards, reveal those cards, and put one onto the battlefield, tapped, and the other into my hand. I'm going to search for a swamp, put that into play tapped. I'll search for an island that will go to my hand. And Cultivate goes to my graveyard. I shuffle my library, which I'll do in a minute.
Jeez.
There's nothing advantageous to attack right now. I am just going to say pass.
All right. Untap, upkeep, draw.
Like a mouse.
Like a mouse. I will play another swamp.
Ooh. Anyone like to cut?
Nope. Knock it, baby.
Knock it, baby.
Knock that down.
I'm sorry. It took a little long.
I think our mascot is going to be too big.
I like that idea. Now, planeswalkers are a separate type, correct?
Yep. This is the way planeswalkers work.
I've never had this.
Okay, so
formally explained.
Sure. Planeswalkers are a permanent,
right,
much like artifacts or enchantments,
mm-hmm,
where they're not a creature.
Right.
They're not technically anything but a planeswalker.
Okay.
As a planeswalker is on the battlefield, they can be attacked,
mm-hmm,
by creatures. They can be targeted with spells that say target player.
Okay.
Or deals damage to, like, each player. You can do what's called redirecting damage.
Okay.
So, like, if you had a spell that said deal 3 damage to each player, you could choose to redirect the damage that would be dealt to Jaeger to this planeswalker.
Right.
Of your choice. Like, if you had multiple, you could deal to,
right,
one of them. Actually, that's a question. If you have, like, 2 planeswalkers out and you deal 3 damage, can you redirect, like, 1 and 2?
No, it would have to say that you'd have to have, you could have up to 3 targets or something like that.
Okay, so you would have to do it to one or the other?
Right.
Okay.
But if you had the other question that I wouldn't know an answer to, is like, you know, like, what's that phoenix that, like, deals 3 damage to each creature and each player? Would that be redirected to both planeswalkers or just one?
What do you mean?
So there's, just think of something that's, area damage to all players.
AoE.
Because I believe you can redirect that to a planeswalker, but could you redirect that to both? I don't think you can.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
I was asking if you could divide it up and from what you said, it didn't sound
like that. I'll ask.
Anyway, yeah, we'll figure it out later.
Another question.
Sure.
Something saying deal damage to creature does not apply to a planeswalker.
No, you cannot redirect that. It's
only
a player.
Every point of damage you deal to a planeswalker will reduce his loyalty by 1.
Right.
And when he goes to 0, he is put to the grave.
Right.
The thing that most people try to think about planeswalkers is they're kind of like a sidekick. They're like almost like another player that can,
right,
do different things.
Okay.
Another thing about planeswalkers is his abilities can only be activated on my main phase.
Okay.
Or
once per turn.
Okay.
The last thing about it is when you're, now that a planeswalker is on the battlefield, when you're declaring attackers, you have to declare who's attacking either me or the planeswalker.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So that answered another question I was going to ask.
Yep.
So just to set the field for you right now, he has a planeswalker out that can shoot something. He can lightning bolt something.
Right.
And then it deals damage to him. So if he lightning bolts any of our creatures that are out right now, he'll die. He could lightning bolt his own wolf, though, and he'll transform.
Right.
His transform side is...
Do you want me to read the other side, or should we wait till he transforms?
We'll wait till he transforms.
Okay.
Transform side is pretty good. So, I mean, you do what you, I mean, you make your own play, but I'm just going to throw this out there if he is
right.
A potential threat.
Now, if he hits 0, does he transform?
No.
Oh.
He has to be at either 2 or 1.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Transform.
Well, I will move to attack step.
Sure.
And I will swing at Garrick for 3 with my Diagraph Cap.
He's not a 3-3.
He's getting buffed.
Oh, from the Grave Crawler. Son of a gun.
Cemetery Reaper, you mean?
Cemetery Reaper. I know names. So you're attacking Garrick with him?
Yep.
I'm gonna block the wolf.
Okay.
Ding, bye-bye wolf.
And then, at the end of my
second
main phase, tap my cemetery, what?
Why don't you wait?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's no reason that
you can save that for later.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Untap.
Drop.
I'm going to use Garrick's zero ability to bring out 2/2 wolf.
Why did you put it away?
Because that wolf token died, and I'm bringing out another wolf token. Thank you very much. I'm going to play Gavinny Township for my land. Gavinny Township can either tap for colorless mana, or it can pay 2, a forest and a plains, and tap Gavinny Township and put +1/+1 counter on each creature I control. So like what I have in the field, I would have to tap all of this to put 1/1s on each creature.
He actually doesn't have the right mana to do it right now.
Actually, you're right, because my Cavernous Souls can't produce white that way.
Right.
But they can produce white this way for a human. If I tap both of them for double white and tap my forest and play a Silverblade Paladin. And since he's in Russian, I'm going to read the Oracle text.
Please do.
I remember he's a 2/2 with
soul text. It's soul bond.
Soul bond.
Soul bond. See, I'm bad at reading Oracle text. You may pair this creature with another unpaired creature when either enters the battlefield. They remain paired for as long as you control both of them. As long as Silverblade Paladin is paired with another creature, both creatures have double strike. So,
You can't actually do anything right now. What's happening is he just cast a creature and it's entering the battlefield.
Okay.
So once it resolves, he'll choose a target for it. Actually, when you put the choice of target on the stack, then he could do something.
So what it is, like, so you can either respond now as I'm playing Silverblade Paladin, but now his Soulbound trigger is triggered.
Right.
And now you respond.
Now you go.
Yeah. I don't believe it. I believe it's before I make a choice. I'm almost sure, but I could be wrong. I thought I talked about this with a judge.
Enters the battlefield, choose a creature, choose target creature. Did it say choose target creature or just choose a creature? Because that matters.
Yeah, it does. It says, it's in the Soulbond text. You may pair this creature with another unpaired creature when either enters the battlefield.
Okay, so you choose upon its resolution.
Yes.
Because it's not targeted and it's not...
Right.
Yeah, so he doesn't make a choice yet.
So Soulbond trigger, go. And so if you want to respond right now,
I'm going to play Go for the Throat.
Sure.
Destroy target non-artifact creature.
I would assume it's that.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And then after that, I'm going to...
Well,
I was going to do his ability.
That's fine, but
remember from our last episode, though, you always want to do it the last possible.
Right. Okay.
It's good discipline.
It is.
That, and technically you wouldn't have priority again until the
next letter.
Yes. Okay. We can talk about priorities.
Yeah. So that's a good one. It's
See,
very
I also don't know all the technicalities.
That's fine. That comes up when it needs to. That's one of the things that you can act as judge about, and they don't mind, because priority is difficult for a lot of people. Yeah. But I am now going to tap my Rootbound Crate for another green and play Rancor, a different Rancor, and put him on the Wolf.
Do you have another tragic spell? -13/-13.
And I'm going to say go.
At the end of your turn, I'm going to tap 3 in my Cemetery Reaper to exile your white guy.
The Silverblade Paladin. Paladin.
And I get a 2/2 zombie.
See, it's definitely, obviously, well, it's a creature and it gets an ability, but there's that, is it the Cemetery Door? Is it that artifact that you try and grab a creature off the bottom of someone's deck and it pulls out a 2/2?
Something like that.
Yeah, there's an artifact that does it, but it doesn't hit because it can't target. Mm-hmm. It just hopes that it hits them off the bottom of the library. I'm sorry, Joe. You're
okay. Thinking.
Computer is thinking.
I played an island for turn.
Yep.
And I'll have 5 basic lands.
Like a boss.
Okay. We're going to tap forest, mountain, plains. We'll play a second Bloodbreed Elf.
Surprise, surprise.
And I'll begin with Cascade.
Your cat is banging his head against my knee.
I hit a Sakura Tribe Elder.
What's that?
Sakura Tribe Elder is a 1/1, and his ability is a snake shaman, and he says, sacrifice Sakura Tribe Elder. Search your library for a basic land card, put that card onto the battlefield tap, then shuffle your library. So he's a random group on a stick. I'm going to enter my attack step.
On a stick.
Jaeger, you've got 2/3/2 Bloodbraid Elves coming at Garrick.
I think Garrick's getting a lot of hate over here.
He's making a lot of wolf tokens.
Yeah.
He's made 2.
He's made more than uncomfortable.
Yes.
Sure, they both hit him. Okay.
Garrick is really, really dead.
Yeah. So dead.
And in my second main phase, I'm going to tap an island in the swamp and cast Sea Beyond. So sorcery, draw 2 cards, then shuffle a card from your hand into your library. And...
I don't think that was part of the Oracle text.
Now it's coming up both.
I'd like to point out that Dave has the cool zombie tokens and not the crappy ones from the most recent sets. I got the M12 zombie tokens.
I got these ones too. I got a whole bunch.
No, we're not pointing out the crappy ones. We're pointing out
the cool ones. The one that's actually in sleeves.
Yeah.
It's like a mouse. And I'll pass turn.
People always make fun of me for sleeving tokens. I'm like,
I put them in different color sleeves, so I don't accidentally shuffle them.
Yeah, I put them in different color sleeves for that. There you go.
Boom.
Untap, upkeep, draw.
Shabalaka.
When I first started to play Magic, the people I played with actually made me have a post note right above my library that had untap, upkeep, draw in that order.
You know,
it's kind of cool. It's not a bad idea.
That is a really good idea because people pass over those first
they
3 phases.
Still don't do them right. People that have been playing for
and
a
that,
long time
that is the one thing of anything in Magic that is hammered into my head.
Yeah.
Untap, upkeep, draw.
I've been, you know, like, you ever do that, like, silently to yourself and see, you know, get in your head.
Yep.
I did the exact same thing. Okay, your cat really loves my mom.
That was great.
Alright, I am going to tap two swamp and an island.
I feel like something else to know that I don't like.
To play a diagram captain.
Oh god. Son of a, are they all like 4/4s now?
Except the token's a 5/5.
Yeah.
I hope you're okay with that.
Yeah, he's huge.
Oh god. Mother of god.
And I've screwed myself naming humans for both my cats.
Alright. I'm going to enter a tax step.
I think this is like
yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Now, another question.
Sure.
That I'm unclear with Death Touch. Does the damage go through?
No, it's not trampled.
No. Oh. I mean, like, hypothetically, if I were to attack with my Diagraph Captain.
Sure.
You blocked with the wolf.
Yes.
Are
they still gonna trade? Yeah, because he doesn't have first strike.
Okay.
So damage is dealt at the same time with these two creatures.
Okay.
The cool thing about Death Touch, just as a side note, a lot of people forget, even though they know it. Death Touch means that just one of the damage that he would deal to this creature would kill it. So if you had multiple creatures blocking that Death Touch guy, he could go 1-1-1. Like if you had three creatures were blocking him. And he would kill all of them. Because assigning damage, you only have to assign enough that would be lethal. And with Death Touch, only one would be lethal.
Okay.
So just remember that too.
The way I always envision it is like Death Touch is common on scorpions. And you think about a scorpion, all it needs to do is snap you once.
Right.
And it's like it was a little pinprick, but then in a couple minutes you're like, oh.
Oh god, yeah.
So if you ever have something with like trample and death touch,
they
would only have to deal one damage to like if one creature is blocking it.
Right.
And then the rest would trample them.
Right. Okay.
Because the way the trample reads is it says you have to deal lethal damage to each creature blocking it before you can push the rest away.
Right.
You can choose to actually deal more to it.
You could. I actually remember, this is also a good side note for people who don't remember to not talk during matches when they're watching them. A friend of mine was sitting next to me and I was attacking with a Wormcoil that had trample, I forget how. Oh, Kessig Wolfram. And the guy was blocking with a 2-2 wolf. I said, well, such and such trample's over because I counted 2 for the wolf. And my friend goes, nope. Like, he actually interjected in the match and said, no. Because he thought it was like a must ability, like he could only assign one damage. And my opponent was like, you shut up. Like he got a little mad. Rightly so, because it's in the middle of a match.
Right.
You know, to be honorable, I was like, no, he still assigns 2 damage, which that you can legally do. I could assign all damage to
him.
So, you know, that's another little don't talk during the match.
Well, I mean, you can talk during the match, just be cautious of talking about the match.
And when in doubt, it's always easier to caution and not say anything.
Imagine, like, looking over someone's shoulder playing a poker game, you know, and sit there and be like, that's a nice pocket aces you got.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, everyone else is going to fold and be pissed off.
So he's a 4-2?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. Then I am going to...
There's just one on my side.
Come at you for 5.
Sure.
Jaeger at 5?
Yes. Sorry. Jaeger at 5. And... With the token, yes. Yep. And Joe, I'm going to come at you for 4.
I'm not going to block. I'm going to take the 5 damage.
Okay.
I am going to block. What I'm going to do is I'm going to declare blockers. I'm going to block with Sakura Tribe Elder.
Okay.
After blockers have been declared, I'm going to sacrifice him.
Okay.
And activate his ability.
Okay.
Your creature is still blocked, though, so no damage.
Yep. Right.
I wasn't going to do that because I can't just block Sack.
I'm going to have a swamp.
All right, now that that's all finished, I will pass turn.
I am tapped, and then my upkeep, and then my drop. Son of a gun. I really screwed myself.
The game.
Aren't I? Maybe my tactics should not be to draw absolute hate in the first. Draw all the hate from all the players in the first 3 turns.
You only have 12.
It's true. I mean, it's not like horrible. It's because we haven't done damage to you.
You haven't told me damage to you, jerk. We're working on it.
Can I see?
Absolutely.
I'm looking at the diagram, Captain. Oh, this is another bull crab. That's a bull crab, Dave.
I know. And I got 2 of them.
Twice.
And so he's a 4/4 and he's a 4/4, right?
Yep.
That is just bull crap. Oh, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to tap one of my caverns for white, tap a forest for actually I'm gonna tap both my caverns, because they're useless lands. Play Thalia, Garden of Graven, which is Joe's favorite card.
Mm.
She's a legendary creature human soldier. She's a 2/1, and she has first strike, and now non-creature spells cost 1 colorless mana more to cast. And, unfortunately,
Well, I don't know how inclined I am to help you out anymore, Jaeger. Now that you just made my spells cost more.
You've been helping me with.
But, I guess, swamp, mountain, forest, plains, island, doesn't really matter at all. Bituminous Blast.
Oh my goodness.
It's an instant. I guess I could have cast this. I thought it was a sorcery for some reason. That's why you should read your card, boys and girls.
Okay.
This spell is 3 colorless, a black, and a red. It has Cascade. And by 2 minutes of blast, deals 4 damage to target creature. I'm going to kill your Cemetery Reaper.
Yeah, sure. But I think doesn't he draw 2 cards off of that?
No, we lose life.
Oh, no, you're right. Okay.
We're just looking at it. Did you not get that?
So we each lose 2 life?
Well,
target
opponent loses 1 life, so he can allocate.
I'm giving you 2, because you're a jerk. Yeah.
Ouch.
I like that.
And I'm going to cast it. Now, when you cast the spell, exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land card that costs. I think I still use its cost. I don't add 1 to it because of quality. Right?
No.
I go off of the printed value.
A lot of good questions are coming up here today.
Man, I've gone over this before.
I think I asked somebody on the Manifold forums. Mike is one of the hosts of the Manifold. Yeah. Answered it. I'm pretty sure I still go off this.
Yeah, I think the only exception is when you have a card that costs X, its converted mana cost is what you just casted it as.
Sure.
X card. Sure.
Okay. So yeah. I'm going to go off of 5, because I think that's right. I hit a Bloodbraid Elf. She's that Haste Cascade. Cascade procs again. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to hit Shardless Agent. He is a 2/2, and he has Cascade. Again. Oh my god. No whammies, no whammies. That's the name of this deck, by the way. No whammies.
Clever, Joel.
Just call me Joel.
I think so. I was hanging out with my buddy Joel earlier today.
I'll hit a Sakura Tribe Elder.
Oh.
So.
Dave, things are gonna get bad. Yeah.
Usually I have some sort of shuffle clause, but actually now I just have to shuffle the cards.
Well, you're doing that.
That I did.
Sure.
Stuff is fine.
Now, you use that instant.
Yes.
To deal damage to him, correct?
Yes.
Now, when that was declared, could I have, in theory, if I had a spell or something that said sacrifice a creature, do this, could I have done that?
Yes. And sacked it instead?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. My spell would, the way that it would work though, because what Cascade says, it says when I cast this spell, mm-hmm. I do
Cascade would have it.
Cascade would have
right,
it,
right,
the
right.
damage would.
Okay.
So yeah, you could have cast something like an instant speed.
Live and learn. Do you want to read the rest of what's his face?
That's all he is. He's a 2/2 with Cascade.
Oh, okay.
Yep, and it's all reminder text for Cascade.
And then you got the Rampant Growth on a stick again.
Yep, another Sakura Tribe Elder. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I'd just like to point out, for me being the threat with 1 little Garrick on the field, Joe has now 5 creatures on the field, 3 of them with haste, and they're just beat sticks. Just going to point that out.
I'm not going to talk about it.
Sometimes things aren't always what they seem.
I'm going to go into my attack step.
Sure.
Dave, you have 2/3/2 Bloodbraid Elves of action. I know the other one has haste. I'm keeping him back, though, on purpose. For all of our listeners at home who are going to be like, why didn't you swing with the other Bloodbraid? Why are there so many ostriches?
And yes, this is how we imagine your voice.
Okay, okay. So let me see if I'm doing this right.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to declare Diagraph Captain as a blocker.
Okay. Sure. Now remember, though, too, he's a... Okay, yeah, he's 3/3, got it. Go
right. While that being said...
So it's after blockers are declared.
Right. I'm going to tap 2, play Altar's Reap. As an addition to the cost, sacrifice a creature, I draw 2 cards, I'm going to sacrifice a Diagraph Captain.
Okay.
That exactly works.
That works. The only thing that will be different about what happened is, since he's dead, he's not going to do anything.
Right.
So
right.
He would have traded the Bloodbraid Elf, and I would have lost one of them, but now you've got 2 cards. So.
He wants cards.
I'm okay
so
with
I go down 6, right?
3.
No, 3.
3.
Oh,
okay.
Block. You block those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that other Bloodbraid Elf is standing up in the woods somewhere, scratching his head, like, where'd that guy go? And your zombie's like, just dies. It was enough time to distract my Bloodbraid Elf, and I will say, go.
Untap, upkeep, draw.
Like a boss.
Like a bouse.
Like a bouse.
Play a 5th swamp. I'm gonna pass turn.
Ooh.
I'm gonna untap, upkeep, draw.
Sweet.
Gonna play Cliff-Chop Retreat. Cliff-Chop Retreat enters the battlefield tent unless I control a mountain or plains. Oh crap, I don't control either.
Kids, this is what happens when you run too many dual lands and cavern a
son of a gun. Like I said, I've been wonking around with this guy.
It's okay. That's pretty funny though.
Nothing.
It's like when you draw a Scars land, like, really late in the game.
Really
you're like, oh, it sucks to be me. Oh, I'm gonna pass her.
What's up? I have a lot of stuff to draw. See, I still say it to myself too soon.
Yeah, same.
Shallow and pedantic.
Immediately thought of that episode.
Shallow and pedantic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry.
I hope my buddy Dave doesn't listen to this episode. He's gonna be like, you do watch Family Guy! No, I don't.
2-1 first strike. That's annoying.
Yeah, why don't you send that blood raid elf at me?
Hmm? Okay.
He's gonna do it.
Tapping plains, mountain, forest, swamp, island, and another place.
All the manas.
All the manas.
I have all the colors.
Last stand is a sorcery.
Woo, you play it in other phases.
It has words on it. Okay, I'm gonna get a lot of effects. Target opponent loses 2 life for each swamp you control. Dave, lose 4 life, please.
Wait.
For each swamp I control.
So he's you. I have. Not you. You're not you.
Yeah. I have 2.
No, I misheard. I thought it was 1 life.
Last stand deals damage equal to the number of mountains you control to target creature. Bye-bye, Thalia.
Did you pay an extra for this, by the way?
Yeah. My flames. Okay. Put a 1/1 green sapperling creature token onto the battlefield for each forest I control.
3
sapperling tokens. I gain 2 life for each plains I control. I gain 4 life. And draw a card for each island you control, then discard that many cards. And I will discard an island.
Attack like stuff's going down.
Jaeger, you got 9 coming at you.
I'm gonna block one of them with my wolf.
Okay.
Rancor returns my hand. I take 6 and go down to 6.
And I will pass turn.
Untap, upkeep, draw. Get away from there.
He's talking to a cat.
My cat is being obnoxious today.
Oh, it's a card from my deck.
Oh. Was it supposed to be in the deck?
Yep.
Judge!
Judge!
Playing with 59 cards.
Got an illegal deck over here.
Go play a swamp.
But I've got tokens now. Yeah.
Did you just like scour your stuff for a sapling zone?
Jaeger for 3, please.
Are you serious?
Are you?
Like.
Oh no.
Yeah, I got no blockers.
Sorry. Sorry.
I don't think you are.
I am.
I don't think you're playing politics right enough right now.
I am.
Multiplayer.
I am. I don't get a pass.
Okay, this club top retreat untaps. I draw, and I play planes.
That's a neat planes.
Thank you.
I like that.
What about undamaged ones?
Yeah. So,
I've got options.
I'm going to tap all of my lands.
Oh boy.
And this is going to be less cool.
Oh.
I'm going to play Gisela, Blade of Gold Knight.
Do I have enough yet?
She is a 5/5 flying first striker. If a source would deal damage to an opponent or a permanent an opponent controls, that source deals double that damage to a to that player or permanent instead. If a source would deal damage to you, who's me, or a permanent you control, prevent half that damage rounded up.
That was in my hand.
Oh, did you drop it?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess he's got to go for the throat in his hand.
Wow.
What a cheater. By the way, he's got that go for the throat.
Oh, my goodness.
I really shouldn't do this.
No. Well, you at least shouldn't do it now.
Okay.
You want to get the utmost value out of that. Okay. I'm gonna pass turn.
Gisela's a pretty good threat, dude.
She is, but she's not doing. She doesn't have hate.
She swings for fight.
She's not swinging now. I feel like you're giving him bad advice for politics.
I'm just saying. Gisela is a huge threat.
She is. I'm not denying that.
Okay. I'm doing.
All right. Joe's
you know why I fell? Because I set my hand here like this?
Yeah, I feel like you're making a lot of excuses for your dirty rotten cheating.
You're a cheater.
I mean, I can take it out of the game if you want.
Just rustling your jimmies.
Yes. I'm okay with this. Okay, I'm tapping 4. Island, Swamp, and 2 others for Cathari Remnant. He is a 0/1 flyer. I can pay black to regenerate him. And he has Cascade.
Oh, does he have Cascade?
Are you guys getting a theme? I'm going to cast Shardless Agents, the first card I reveal. He's that 2/2 with Cascade. And then I'm going to see what I can find. See Beyond. Draw 2 cards, then shuffle a card from my hand into my library.
Do you draw 2 and then...
Sure.
Oh, wow. That's a decent draw card.
Okay. I want to replace it with Ancestral Vision because I'm a cheater.
Would that work with Cascade? How would Suspend work?
It has no mana cost. It just automatically casts because it has less mana cost than the card I cascaded.
I gotta find out about that.
It does. The interaction.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't believe.
The only reason I don't have this is the card is like $5.
Ancestral Recalls?
Yeah, it's like $12. And then I'm gonna tap Forest, Mountain, Plains. I'm gonna cast a fourth technically Bloodbraid Elf. And I'll cascade again.
If you cast a 5th Bloodbraid Elf,
I'll go. Illusory Angel is what I hit. She is a 4/4 flyer. I may only cast Illusory Angel if I cast another spell this time.
And you did.
Glad and I cast Age of Angel, so it counts anyway. And she doesn't have lifelink anything, does she?
She does not.
Alright, then for my attack step.
Sure. Actually, before you declare and you're going to attack,
yeah.
You're gonna have a response.
Anybody have a response?
I'm going to drink my Mountain Dew, and that was my response.
Okay. Seems legit.
Too legit.
Oh, my goodness. I knew you were going to save immediately. All right, declare your attackers.
Jaeger.
Everything?
Shards of Sage and 3 Bloodbraid Elves.
Okay. Is that all your dudes?
No.
I mean, like, is that all you declare?
That's all I'm declaring.
Okay. I'm going to block one of the Bloodbraids with Giselle.
Okay.
And I take 1 damage. I think it's more than 2.
No, because it's rounded down.
Oh, it's rounded up is the preventing, so yeah.
Yeah, my 3.
So I take 3 exactly, which would kill me, and now she's dead. So now because you didn't play that go for the throat, you can now play it on something else.
I was waiting, see?
Or if he would have attacked you at all, then you would have wanted to go for the throat, so the damage wouldn't have been doubled to you.
Right.
Nice. I'll pass turn.
Oh, no.
Boo-boo.
We should have a whole segment called
Boo. Boo-boo. I do feel a little bad. You're mana screwed that whole game, but...
I wasn't mana screwed, I was color screwed.
Yeah. What about Gisella? Come on.
Yeah.
That just brings out the worst of me.
I'm pretty sure I was dead on board as I played the Gisella. So I'm pretty sure the bad got brought out from you early on.
For my lineup, you're playing Evolving Wilds.
Sweet.
Sacrifice Evolving Wilds, search your library for a basic land card and put it onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle your library.
You're doing that during your turn?
Yeah.
Did we talk about this?
Yeah, we did.
Obviously not enough.
You've passed both swamps and islands from what I've seen.
No. So
he's like, no.
He's wasting time now. Judge!
Judge! Would you call Judge the guy Evolving Wild on his turn in his first main phase?
No. Only if it took forever to search his library.
And then, I will tap 3 swamp to play a Cemetery Reaper.
Mother of God.
Past turn.
You know, I have wished that they would bring back Cascade, but then I remember how crazy it is, and I'm glad they have it.
Yeah, it's probably gone.
Yeah. Is that what that noise is? Yes. Your cat is sneezing?
Yes.
Man, your cat is weird.
Right, I'm paying 8. Green, blue, red, and 5 colorless. For a Maelstrom Wanderer. He is a 7/5. Creatures I control have haste, and his ability is Cascade.
Go for the throw, please.
I'm still gonna Cascade.
You still Cascade twice.
That's fine. I don't care.
He's dead.
I don't care.
Alright, first Cascade hits an enlisted worm. He is a 5/5 for 6 with Cascade. That Cascade trigger goes on the stack before his second. So I'm going to go for something 5 or less. I hit See Beyond. Draw 2 cards, then shuffle a card from my hand into my library. That works. I have a second Cascade trigger waiting. Second Cascade. Enigma Sphinx hits. He is a 5/4 flying. When Enigma Sphinx is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, put it into my library, third from the top, and he has Cascade. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. My 2-minute blast deals 4 damage to target creature with Cascade. I'm gonna kill your Cemetery Reaper.
You get...
Lose 1 life?
Yes.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Wait.
What do you wanna do, bro?
I wanna, before he dies...
You wanna sacrifice him to...
Yeah.
Sure.
For Alter's Reap.
Okay, and I have an Illusory Angel. That's that 4/4 flyer. I want for my attack step.
Do you have anything in response before his attack phase?
No. Okay. 3 Sacrifices. One Illusory Angel, 2 Shardless Agents, 2 Bloodbraid Elves, and a Sucker Tribe Elder.
Mm.
Is there any way you can spread this? What's the total power?
1, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 15, 16, 17, 18, 12. And you can block 6 of it
at
with Advantageous with Bloodbraids.
So you could survive this turn.
Yeah, we're doing you that.
Block the 2 Bloodbraids?
Yes, please. Okay. Do you take any damage for the 1 zombie that dies, or does that do...
Both of them, actually, so I'll take 2.
It's another zombie.
Another.
Oh, okay, so I'll take 1. And I'll pester.
Untap.
You got this, man.
Upkeep.
Like a mouse.
Draw. Swamp.
Like a mouse. Just, I mean, you're okay.
No, I know. I'm okay. I'll probably be okay. I will tap. 4 swamps. And an island to play. Grimgrin, Corpseborn.
Oh, enters the battlefield tapped.
Grimgrin, he's a 5/5. Grimgrin, Corpseborn enters the battlefield tapped and doesn't untap during your untapped step. Sacrifice another creature, untap Grimgrin, and put a +1/+1 counter on it. Whenever Grimgrin attacks, destroy target creature, defending creature, player controls, then put a +1/+1 counter on Grimgrin.
He has words.
He's got a lot of words. Pass turn.
I like that a lot. So that might not be. So I just showed Dave a card called Life's Finale. It's from Euphorexia. It's 4 and a black.
to sorcery, destroy all creatures, then search target opponent's library for up to 3 creature cards and put them in his or her graveyard. Then that player shuffles his or her library. That would be it. I mean, it's a decent card in casual overall.
Sure.
And against Cascade, be like, F you, man. And you can take out, like, the big dude that double Cascades.
Yep. By the way, I tap 8 and play a Maelstrom Wanderer.
That guy.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yep. Sorry, Remnant.
I wish you could somehow deck yourself.
Hit a CD on.
I would feel so good.
Oh, so good.
So good, girl.
There's very few things in Magic that feel as good as decking someone.
That's true.
Oh, girl, so good.
And that's what I would do after.
Sonic Booms.
What?
What? Service Agent.
Yep.
Something about it.
Yep.
I'll attack with everything.
In response, to play Swamp.
Okay. You can't do that. That's an illegal charge. That was an illegal move, sir.
I lose.
Yep. So I do have 1, 3, 5, 12, 16, 19, 23, 28. 33, 36 power on board?
So you definitely did have some whammies in that no whammy deck.
I had a few. Well, the point is, like, if I cast Maelstrom Wanderer and hit a Sea Beyond with it, it's pretty sad.
I don't feel bad for you ever. Ever, 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 ever,
ever, ever, ever.
Sure, you can call it sad.
Oh.
Losing bitterness. It feels so good.
I know it's bitter sting. You should have heard me after Standard two nights ago.
I didn't have to hear you. You walked out for a minute, and then you had to, like, settle down and come back in or something. You walked out of the store. I was like, dang, he's pissed.
Yeah, at some point I did.
No. I mean, I've definitely seen Magic players walk out of the store many times, which is good, because then they don't, like, I've also seen Magic players rage inside the store.
You know, honestly, like, I was upset, but worse than that, I was ridiculously hot.
Yeah, you know, the Brooklyn store, I don't know. The thermostat's been weird.
I just walked out like for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Just get some freaking fresh air. Yeah, I was pissed off, but I was also just. Ugh.
At least that's what I assumed, because your opponent came up to report that he won as you immediately like walk out the door, and I'm like, coincidence.
Man, I don't like this game.
But I'm trying to think of any time I wouldn't say I've never raged. I've raged. But I remember like the last time I raged, it was a hilarious rage.
Uh-huh.
I was playing against a token deck, and I just land this Inferno type, which against tokens is ridiculous, because you just go, ding, 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 3 of your spirits are dead, and yada, yada. He plays Celestial Purge. I'm like, Celestial Purge exiles a red or black permanent
for
2 mana. It's pretty good. So I'm like, oh my goodness, like, that was my win condition, like, man, I'm gonna really have to work hard. I'm like, okay, next turn, I play a Huntmaster. Totally think like this is gonna get back into my game.
Celestial Purge.
Another Celestial Purge. I'm like, and it was my buddy, so it was kind of like, it was in like a bitter rage. It was like, oh my goodness, rage! I can't believe you pulled out another one. Dang it!
Was it like a? Was it a?
It was a black white token deck.
Was it? What I was gonna ask is, was it a like a sideboard game?
Or did he sideboarded in Celestial Purges against him. So it's legit. But I mean, usually you only sideboard in 2.
Legit.
I kill would be smalls. But yeah, so he sideboarded in 2, and so it was that he put in 2, which is fine, but that he drew 2, and or at least drew 2 by the time he really needed the end game. It was just like, oh, you gotta be kidding me, good game! But I'm sure I have it, I have it. I do enjoy, like, big losses, though. Like, I actually enjoy if I lose, it's like a big loss. Like, just get completely blown out, you're like, wow, damn, that happened. Which I actually did against him the week before. I grabbed his, it's the white, bring out 2 soldiers, attack, hero. Hero Bladehold. I grabbed his Hero Bladehold that he controlled with my Zealous Conscripts. They both had haste. I just went, wham! Right into space. And he's like, it was for exact damage.
I had one of those come up when I was playing Nickel Post.
Yeah.
It was a Nickel Boss Trading Post deck. And I'd stabilized at pretty low health, as I usually do.
Right.
And this guy has nothing. He has, like, 1 card in hand. He's getting this butt handed to him. And I'm like, all right, well, I can finally start coming back. Throw down an Inferno Titan. Deal 3 to him.
Mm-hmm.
Pass turn. Zealous Conscripts on his. I'm like,
no!
Inferno Titan, why?
Why you turn against me?
We're still recording.
We are. Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap this shebangy up.
Oh, guys, I didn't see you were still here.
Oh. Hello, neighbor.
Oh, so creepy. Hello, neighbor.
How is that creepy? That's Mr. Rogers.
You made it creepy.
Yeah.
You don't have a sweater and, like, penny loafers on right now.
Oh.
Or tennis shoes or whatever.
I don't have any clothes on.
Yeah, that is even more creepy.
Alright, guys, well, this has been another exciting fun-filled episode of Four Guys Play Magic, I feel a little bad about playing a really good deck against you guys.
No, it was fine.
I was tired of losing, damn it.
Yeah, I still have not taken last place.
Last week?
I just feel bad because Dave fell into your bad politics. Oh. I was like, oh, he's totally a complete threat. Because he's making 2/2 wolves. Oh, 3/2 cascade, 3/2 cascade, 3. I'll cascade into a 3/2 cascade.
Oh. Sorry, Jaeger.
No, it's okay.
It's a good thing I don't run a country.
Yep. It's also, like, you'll learn better politics. We'll probably make you play Cosmic Combat, which is a good politics game.
Ooh, it's Cosmic. It's a board game. It's a lot of fun.
Where everyone talks to everybody else into attacking one guy. And just completely demolish him. And then he goes, what the heck? And then that one guy who talked everyone else into it is now like 5 victory points ahead. And everyone's like, oh, now we gotta defend against him. But he's like too powerful. Ooh. So anyways
I'm final walking away with the Chub Toad. That's my final thought.
Chub Toad.
Chub Toad.
Chub Toad.
I'm walking away with Dandon.
If you actually knew what those two cards are, Dandon and Chub Toad, without looking them up, I want you to email me because I, like... We'll give a shout out to you because that is ridiculous.
If you knew what Chub Toad and Dandon were before, we're not going to explain them on the show. Screw that.
Nope.
And if you look them up on your little Oracle or your Magic cards, we'll know. Don't you fake us. If you know what these cards are, email us and you'll get a surprise.
Yeah.
I don't know surprises, but we're gonna give some sort of surprise out. FourGuysPlayMagic@gmail.com. Final thoughts.
F-O-U-R.
Final thoughts, Dave.
I got a Chub Toad.
You do have a Chub Toad.
That's true.
We need another final thought.
Chub Toad. I need a new deck.
Yeah.
So I'm not playing the same 3.
Let's get your EDH deck ordered tonight. Yeah. Can you look at the cards?
Yeah, not yet.
Let's figure it out tonight.
I'm gonna look at them tonight, so.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have an EDH deck in the next week or two. We'll do EDH.
Yes.
Our inaugural. Should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Jaeger, final thoughts?
Final thoughts for me is, I gotta be better. A little sly guy with politics and multiplayer instead of just complaining the whole time. Stop attacking me! Oh my goodness!
Mega Man!
I gotta win the favor of the public, of the other players.
It's not easy to do.
But I do, I
heavy lies the crown.
I very much enjoyed this because, like, you know, I like talking about, like, the different rules, how they interact with each other. Like, we talked about Death Touch tonight.
We're gonna talk
about priority soon. I enjoy that stuff. So a game, even if I was the first one to sit out or to, you know, lose, I still enjoy these kind of games. They're very much fun.
Yeah. Joe, final thought.
Oh my god. My final thought is that Arrested Development is an awesome show.
And there's always money in the banana stands.
That was a Joe Dave high five, not a Jaeger was not involved.
Jaeger's sitting out being grumpy.
Yep.
You're like a grumpy little
guy. I'm not grumpy, I'm just not into the whole hype of Arrested Development.
What was
the
fuse on your Tampa?
2013. Early 2015, yeah, they're releasing all of the episodes at once.
Yep.
For the new season. Oh my god. It'll be so good. Ah. Yep. Arrested Development, looking forward to it. This has been a fun game tonight, even though I crushed everyone.
I say I got Chub Toad and that didn't cut it, but you and Arrested Development, that's fine for a final thought.
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
Chub Toad's not good. You already talked about Chub Toad before we went to
but Chub Toad's awesome.
Chub Toad and Dandon.
Dandon. Like,
Chub Toad fights Dandon. What happens? They both die. Wait.
No.
If Chub Toad blocks Dandon, they still both die.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah, we can't talk about them anymore than what we just said. Chub Toad versus Dandon, make it happen, Wizards.
Who would you like to see win that?
We need a dual Vex Chub Toad versus Dandon.
With Chub Toad emblems.
Yes, do it!
They should make Chub Toad a planeswalker. Like they did it with cards.
We're on this.
Dear Wizards.
Chub Toad beat Dandon.
Everyone's gonna be like, no one ever cares about these cards. What's your problem?
Dude, this is so bad. Don't even mess around, Dandon. He's a boss.
Who's your favorite? Let us know who your favorite is between Chub Toad and Dandon.
Chub Toad and Dandon, let's send it to the polls. Vote for your favorite.
But don't look it up. If you know what it is, send it to us. And then if you don't, look it up. But
and
don't.
Then vote. Yeah, I don't know.
So you email us once saying that you knew what it was.
Yes.
Or you email us once and tell you that you didn't know what it was, but you looked it up and now you
yes.
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
Clarify.
If you knew what Chub Toad and Dandon were without looking them up, post it on our Twitter feed.
Yep.
How's that?
Yep.
There you go.
And if you want to vote for whether Chub Toad or Dandon is better, send us an email.
Yeah.
And if you want to do both of those, log into Facebook and Twitter at the same time, do both while copy-pasting it into an email,
send the email to yourself in an alternate email address and then forward that email to 4GuysPlayMagic that will then be uploaded onto our Facebook page and Twitter feed will automatically record the results.
Don't forget like don't forget to record yourself doing all of this and then post it on your Tumblr account.
And YouTube.
Please.
Yep. And Facebook.
Yep.
Yep.
But mother of God help you if you use LinkedIn.
It's just like, he's just got like all his like technical like experience, and I know what Chub Toad is. Some guy hired him because of that.
I'd accept his resume.
Chub Toad, you're hired.
Chub Toad, you're hired. And then your nickname is now Chub Toad at that new job immediately.
They call me Daniel Chub Toad O'Brien.
Oh, we gotta finish this. We gotta put a finale on this.
I think that's a good place to stop.
Alright.
Chub Toad.
End.
Yep.
Chub Toad.
End that.
Chub Toad.
Chub Toad.
Chub Toad.
Chub Toad. Danden. 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 Chub Toad. Danden. Danden. Chub Toad. Danden.
Oh, my poop.
Somebody pooped in my pants!
My cheeks hurt!
On Facebook.
There's actually a fix for that that my buddy does.
You walk up to me and you're like, oh, look at this picture of my nephew. Woo.
He's cute as shit.
He's okay.
Wow, that is not the responses that I get.
Yeah.
I get positive responses from people who hate babies. They're like, I hate babies, but wow, is he cute.
You know what? You know what else? You know who else gets reactions like that?
Ooh.
Baby crazy women. Because this is where you're at right now. Apparently you're like super ovulating and you really, really need a baby.
I don't need a baby. I just enjoy my nephews and I don't get to see them very much.
Your internal clock is going off.
Okay, for real guys, what are we talking about today?
We can just talk about my nephews.
Yeah, sure. That sounds great.
On the Magic Podcast.
Hi, welcome to 4GuysPlayMagic. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about Jaeger's nephews. We're going to rename this episode 4GuysTalkBabbies.
How is Babby formed? How is Babby formed? How girl get pregnant? They need to do way in string, mother. Kill them babbies just because these babby can't fruit back.
Guys, did you know that it was on the news this morning?
A lady in awe who killed her 3 kids. They are taking the babby back to New York to a lady to rest. My parry are with the father. Who lost his drillin?
Why do you have this all memorized?
I'm truly sorry for your loss.
What is this from?
He's never seen it either. See?
What is it?
How not have you seen this?
What is it?
You need to show him.
What's it called?
It's called How Is Babby Formed.
It is called How Is Babby
Formed. How Is Babby Formed?
I don't understand you.